Blog Talk Radio.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. You can't take the sky from me.
Senators Cruz and Lee spoke on the Senate floor defending the Constitution, urging their GOP colleagues to vote no on cloture to end debate over H.J. 59, the continuing resolution that fully funds government, provides for paying the interest on the debt, and defunding the rest of Obamacare. While it was not a filibuster in the sense that it did not delay a vote, it was a triumphant defense of your liberty. On Monday, Harry Reid had already scheduled the vote to move to debate, if you can call it debate, for Wednesday afternoon, which was yesterday. Senator Cruz ended his speech right before the vote to debate, which is within the rules of the Senate, a vote for which he asked unanimous consent to pass, and Reid rejected that motion. Ted, along with 100% of the Senate, voted to open debate, and he is still urging his fellow Republicans to all vote against cloture tomorrow, which is cloture to close debate. Why? Because six Republicans are needed to vote with the Democrats, 54 Democrats, and the two independents who caucus with the Democrats, in order to allow Reid to remove the defunding language and send the CR back to the House. However, if all the Republicans vote no on cloture tomorrow, Reid can't do that. This is designed to force Reid to open the bill for amendments with a 60-vote requirement. Remember, he's only got 54 votes instead of 51. If the Republicans, at least six of them, cross over and give him cloture tomorrow, then he can add amendments with only 51 votes, and he's got 54. So the Republicans who vote for cloture and then vote to defund Obamacare are lying to you, because a vote for cloture gives Reid all the power to remove the defunding language without a single Republican vote. This is a trick to make the GOP Senate appear to be against the Obamacare debacle, the so-called Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, while they actually fund it. Don't let them get away with it. Make D.C. listen. This isn't about Senator Ted Cruz or Senator Mike Lee or health care or insurance reform. This is about whether or not the government is bound by the Constitution or whether it has the power to run your life. This is not about a Republican civil war, no matter what they're telling you in the media, including the so-called conservative media. This is about whether conservative and libertarian politicians who support the Constitution have any say at the national level. As always, liberty requires perpetual vigilance. There are defenders of liberty in the Imperial City. Will you stand with them? Will you make D.C. listen? You are live with Rex and Trog. Irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from the Imperial City, where the cloture vote to close debate on the CR is going to probably happen tomorrow. And if you don't get busy bringing in a grassroots tsunami, it may just happen. I am joined tonight by my co-captain. Trog, you are live with Rex.
Oh, man. People must think I'm crazy when they hear that. Well, I am excited. I am deep in thought and reflecting of, you know, where we're at, what we've been through, and what's going on right now, watching all the battleships line up, you know, for and against, and the Republicans, you know, the French Republicans show their true colors again, you know, when push comes to shove and a stupid vote in the House, you know, to eliminate Obamacare, which everybody knows is never going to get past the floor of the Senate. The only way that they had the power to force this at the Senate was it's tied to, you know, appropriations. It's tied to the budget. And so the House finally handed us a real tool after 40-some wasted, you know, hey, look what I did, Mommy, even though it doesn't matter, votes. And, you know, to see people line up on each side. Of course, the Democrats are going to lie and spin it and talk about green eggs and ham comments, you know, and pick out the worst and the best and do whatever they can to avoid the conversation. The real conversation about Obamacare, which has been delayed over 40 times, provisions of it, illegally, I might add. And so here we sat. We sat in the middle of a very, very important battle. And I, you know, I'm very, you know me. I mean, we chat through the day. But, you know, the thing that I hope people get from this is, number one, don't let it divide conservatives. Conservatives are, you know, and we were talking about it this morning, you know, the Rand Cruz camp, you know, I'm for Cruz, I'm for Rand, and no. That is immature, it's wrong, and we're here to fight for a principle. And you've got to listen to these guys and stick with them. This is a long battle to defeat the left, because the left has been in control of this government, including the House leadership, Republicans, the left, has been in control of this government since they took over Congress when Bush was failing out of office. You know,
wasn't he failing?
So it's been a long run. It's been a long run. And they've had a lot of power building for a long run in a very bad economy. And they're pushing so many things through left and right. Obamacare was a debacle. It never should have made it through the House and Senate, but it did. And the Republicans have done nothing to stop it except for their felonious vote that they do. You know, where they really had the power, which Newt has talked about, is the appropriations, which is now we are watching that battle unfold. And I don't know why they waited this long. It shocks me how poor they are at fighting the good fight. But they are fighting it, and so thank God. Where it goes is anybody's guess. I think that for us who are part of that 2010 wave, who were never part of rah-rah Bush, let's bomb the shit out of the world and spread democracy around the world and spend trillions of dollars and act like Democrats on steroids, you know, we're never part of that. I think that when you see this kind of stuff, it's a breath of fresh air. Unfortunately, yep. It shouldn't be a breath of fresh air, Rex. This should be the norm. This is what the 2010 Tea Party Revolution was about. This is what taking the House was about. So, you know, thank God. I watched most of it. You watched more than I did. And I was very impressed. You watched the whole thing. Okay, I missed a few hours for some sleep. I'm older than you. I got to sleep. but I was very impressed with Cruz. I was very impressed with his graciousness under attack. Mm-hmm. And I watched a little clip with him tonight with Hannity just before we booted up. And everybody keeps trying to, you know, throw that, hey, they're saying this about you, and, you know, and trying to get the fight going, and Cruz won't engage. I find, even against McCain, even against the Republicans, I find him to be a gracious statesman. And that's a breath of fresh air. And Rand is like that, too. He got sucked into the Christie thing, and then he pulled out. You know, he just walked away from it going, I'm not going to play this game. I'm not going to be a Democrat. You know, Republicans have started, you know, I saw this in the primary with Romney. I felt like I was battling Democrats. And they were, they were supposedly Republicans. And I felt like I was battling with Democrats. So, you know, I guess we've lost that grace. And it's such a breath of fresh air to see somebody who will be polite, be professional. He did very well.
And be firm.
Very firm. This is what I stand for, and this is why. This is what I stand for, and this is why. Oh, he said that? Well, I can't account for him. I think he's a great guy, but I disagree with him on this. You know, it's just very refreshing to see that, because we are no longer in junior high school. And it's good to see the people that run the largest country in the world, or the most powerful country in the world. Well, that could be debatable now, but normally.
Well, they run the government.
Country in the world. Yeah. You know, they run the government. It's good
or
to
they
see
ruin
them
the
act
government.
Like professionals. You know, it's good to see them act like professionals. So I'm
fired up.
I really am.
No, it's good that you're fired up, and everybody should be fired up, because I think you hit the nail on the head. It's refreshing to see it, but it shouldn't be refreshing to see it, because this is how it should be. But it isn't. So, you know, rather than being utopian idealist and either lamenting that, you know, all is lost, or having rose-colored spectacles and wondering, you know, oh, it should be like this, let's be realistic. It's not like this, and it should be like this. But the simple fact is that there is a minority of actual conservatives, libertarians, principled constitutionalists that are in the Imperial City, and they are fighting for America. They're fighting for the Constitution, but they cannot do it unless there is what had labeled the grassroots tsunami of support, and the fact is that that's how we delayed the war in Syria, and that is precisely why the House passed the Graves CR and sent it over to the Senate, and then they've been trying to finagle little tricks and angles to shut it down, and they're still lying. And the real enemy is not Harry Reid. The real enemy is not Dick Durbin. The real enemy is not Obama. If you're a conservative, if you're a libertarian, if you're a constitutionalist, you already know those guys suck. The real enemy is the one standing next to you or behind you, and it is the Republicans, or I should call them the Republicans. The fact is, we need millions more people to fight.
The Frenchies.
Chris and I have been doing these Thursday shows. Remember, regular Tex and Rex show broadcast time is Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern, but we've been doing these special Thursday shows all throughout September. This is the fourth installment, or 4.5, since last Sunday turned out to kind of fall on the same topic. But the shows are available to listen to in archive.
Did we mean to do that?
I don't know. It just kind of worked out that way. They are available, so you can go to the Tex and Rex show page on Facebook. I have everything posted there, and relevant clips and articles are in the comments. If you always click on the pick for the show in the comments, you'll find all the videos, clips, and articles that are relevant to the topic of the show. And if you like that page, you will get notifications in your news feed when we're broadcasting, doing special shows and other action items to keep you up to speed on grassroots conservatism. And for all you libertarians out there, just keep in mind, an authentic conservative is two-thirds a libertarian, so learn to work together and get along instead of bitching about your differences. We can have a really good fight later. Right now, we got to defeat the collectivists. So the other place you can go is Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia on Facebook. Join the group, and there I have larger posts of the same things that we have on the air. If you're in Blog Talk Radio right now, whether listening live or in archive, if you like, or not like, but if you follow the show in Blog Talk Radio, you will get notifications in your Blog Talk Radio profile and associated email. On Blog Talk Radio, just go to blogtalkradio.com, search out the Tex and Rex Show. You will go to our page, and you will have every single show that we have done, especially these four conservative comeback obliterating Obamacare shows. They're all right there for you. You can just click on it, play it in your browser, play it in your mobile device. If you go below the scrolling graphics, there is a download this episode link. Right-click on that. You can get an MP3. play it in your MP3-enabled device, burn a CD, email it to somebody, take it to your Republican Party meetings, take it to your Tea Party meetings, Campaign for Liberty, what have you. Get it out there because you are the only means by which anybody even knows this show exists. Remember, we don't get paid to do this. We're doing it because we want to support the real conservatives and the real libertarians in Washington who are fighting for your freedom. So get the information out there. Sharing the show doesn't mean you endorse the show or my foul mouth or even our opinions. It just means you want someone to take a look at a different perspective. What we're trying to bring you here is connecting the dots and showing you who the real enemy is, how to actually advance the cause of the Constitution and liberty. And it's very important to do this. There are better people than me doing this, but we're trying to do our part. You've got, you know, Chris Green at Alternative Media Television. You've got Ben Swan. You've got Josh Tolley. There are people that are getting this message out there, but none of us have the reach of Fox News, MSLSD, Communist News Network, and the major corporatist media network television. So you have to be the marketing arm, you have to be the distribution arm, you have to be the one to get it out there. And we thank everybody who has shared the show. When you see the pics on Facebook or on Twitter, retweet or share them. I mean, a lot of you are liking the page. We like that, and you're liking the pics, but if you don't share it, no one else hears about it. And for all of you who are sharing it, thank you very much. Here's the important thing to take away from this. It's easy to get caught up in the cult of personality. And Chris, you know, I've seen this. You know, people get caught up, you know, even Ron Paul, when he, you know, had that wonderful liberty movement, a lot of people were following Ron Paul. Well, you don't follow Ron Paul because he's Ron Paul. You follow Ron Paul because he's telling you the truth. You don't cheer Ted Cruz because he's Ted Cruz. You cheer Ted Cruz because he's taking a stand for liberty. You don't follow Rand Paul because he's Ron Paul's son. You follow Rand Paul because he's the junior senator from Kentucky, and he's fighting for your civil liberties. So get away from the cult of personality. Start looking at facts, issues, truth, and who's taking a position. I'll even work with someone like Marco Rubio, who I can't stand because he's not really a conservative. The only reason he appears to be conservative is because he was running against Charlie Crist, who's now a Democrat, and my friggin' left shoe is more conservative than Charlie Crist, so that's not an accomplishment. However, on this defunding Obamacare issue, Rubio's actually been pretty good and out on point, so I'm going to give him props for that. Nevertheless, Florida, when you get a chance, please fire this little guy because he's just not really conservative. He's more of an opportunist. But on this one, he's right, so we'll give him a break on that. But the fascinating thing is the call to action is to get that grassroots tsunami going. So listen to the shows that we've done. We did the first one kind of dissecting how this so-called Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act is not about health care, medical care, or insurance reform. In the second one, we talked about why, if it results in a government shutdown, which will be around Reid's head and Obama's head, it won't necessarily be a bad thing. And it actually is. Last time it happened in 95, it was an electoral victory for Republicans, especially conservative Republicans. And then we talked about the Graves continuing resolution, which is a continuing resolution that is now on the floor in the Senate being, quote, debated, and the cloture vote is tomorrow to close debate and move to decide the bill, is fully funding government. Now, I'm not so keen on that because there's a lot of crap in government that I don't think we should fund, especially at the deficit of $1 trillion, but it fully funds government except for the rest of Obamacare. And I say the rest of Obamacare because Obama's already defunded most of Obamacare because it doesn't work. We're just saying, well, if it doesn't work and it's not ready to go online October 1st, why don't you just go ahead and defund it and delay it and fix it before you put it online? That's all that's going on here. So it seems to me that the Republicans are running cover for the Democrats, who are basically doing the same thing they did on Syria. They are fighting not for this bill because they all know it sucks. In fact, I would agree that at least half of them don't even want it to go online because it's going to be a disaster. It's all to save Obama's face. The whole thing with the red line, they decided they were going to blow up Syria to save his face, and that backfired on them because of you. This is the same thing. This is his principal piece of legislation, and so they have to put it up there so that he can look good. But the thing is a mess by their own accounts. Even Max Baucus said it's a mess. So the idea is delay it so that we can actually do something good as opposed to just putting something out there in order to make Obama look good. I don't care if he looks good. I don't much like him, and frankly, he's a temporary president. So when he's gone, who cares? So you got to get it done. The first thing you need to do is go to www.don'tfundit.com. and sign the petition and get at least three other people to sign it before we go off the air. We're going to do about 2 hours of show. It's currently at 1,838,709. Okay, let's get that up to 1,850,000 before the end of the show. When we were doing the show on Sunday, we just crossed the 1.6 million mark. So that's pretty huge. Keep it going. That thing should be 5 million by now. So get busy. That's www.don'tfundit.com. The other thing I want you to do is hammer the crap out of the Republicans. Call them tomorrow and tell them to vote together, no on cloture. No on cloture. The switchboard number is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Why do you want to vote no on cloture? If they vote yes on cloture, and that will require 52 Democrats, the two Democrat caucusing independents, and six Republicans to cross over and be traitors. If they vote yes on cloture, then the debate will end, if you can call it a debate, but it'll end. And then Reid will be able to do something whereby he can propose amendments and pass them with only 51 votes. And he's got 54, so that's really easy for him to do. If he does, what will happen then is that you'll get the fully funded continuing resolution, fully funding the government, but stripped of the defunding language for Obamacare. And then we're going back to the House, which we still have a lot of tools there as long as you stay on point. But the idea is that Republicans should, if they truly want to defund Obamacare, and all of them say that they do, except when there's a real opportunity to do it, then they run like fucking rats from a ship, okay? If they really want to defund it, then they say no to cloture, because then it requires 60 votes to pass amendments, and Reid's only got 54. So as long as the Republicans vote together, there will be no amendment to strip the defunding language out, and then Harry Reid has a choice. Does he love this disaster that's not working, that's already been defunded by Obama himself illegally so much that he's willing to shut the government down in order to try to force the Republicans to do it? Or is he willing to delay it and defund it until it can be fixed in order to fund the government? That's the choice he'll have to make. Now, that's not an obstructionist position. This is how you bring people to negotiate when you have opposing sides. You have to do these things in order to get it going. And that's precisely what Ted Cruz was talking about. Now, there's been a lot of talk, Chris, about whether this was a filibuster, whether it wasn't a filibuster. But it wasn't a filibuster because it didn't delay the vote. It was a 21-hour speech, and if you haven't listened to it or read the transcript, you really should, because they talked about the Constitution. We got like an hour constitutional law lesson from Mike Lee that was just astounding. And Mike Lee, you know, the three of them, Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, are all really good, but Mike Lee's kind of been the more of the timid guy, the more of the quiet guy, but he came out and it was magnificent. And you know, all everybody's talking about is that he mentioned Darth Vader and Ashton Kutcher and Red, Green, Eggs, and Ham. Well, you know what? At his kid's bedtime, the dude took a break, Red, Green, Eggs, and Ham, and something from the Bible to his little girls. I mean, give him a break. But what he did... Yeah, but what he did was he had 70% of the trends on Twitter were all related to what he was doing, and he and Mike Lee. And this is the important thing. He was doing it to teach his colleagues why this strategy works. But more importantly, he was doing it to inspire you. He was doing it to get you to stand with him, to bring pressure onto the Imperial City, because you have to make it riskier for them to piss you off than to piss off their backers and the lobbyists. That's the only way you're going to win this game. So you got to get busy. So call them and tell them no to cloture, 202-224-3121. We've got a lot of good clips to play, Chris, but why don't we go ahead and give you you know, some time to tee it up regarding what you saw of the 21 hours, and then we'll go to some clips.
Well, you know, I have trying to not get too much in detail with his 21 hours, but, you know, that's why I started the way I started. I think he was incredible. I was very impressed. I've had a wary eye on Ted Cruz. I've always liked him, but, you know, I don't know him. And like all politicians, you know, you want to watch them under pressure. And under pressure, he shined. And he stayed on target. He handles the abuse and the criticism well. He's proving himself once again to be a statesman. You know, he went to work and did what we hired him to do. Of course, I don't live in Texas, so I didn't hire him, but you know what I'm saying.
yeah.
But, you know, I didn't vote for him. I couldn't vote for him. I don't live there. But I didn't know that much about him in the primary. I had people on both sides of the fence in my group. So I find, and here's what's really amazing about this. We had Bernie Sanders did one. We had that gal in Texas that, you know, went against the abortion bill in Texas. And they were heroes. And, oh, my God, they were incredible. And, you know, women wore, you know, female from their ears. Remember the earring thing?
Yes.
You know, over that gal, you know, women's products from her ears to show the world how wonderful it was what this woman did in Texas, in the Texas state legislator. You know, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul gets up there. Does his 13-hour filibuster. Cruz gets up there, does a 21-hour or whatever it was. And it's nothing but criticism, character slurs. You know, we're trying to hurt Americans. We're trying to make people die from lack of health care, the green eggs and ham. It is so amazing to me how quickly and how efficient the mainstream media is and the left on destroying anybody who's fighting for the Constitution, which is really means they're fighting for your individual liberties and right to succeed. That's really what it means. Mm-hmm. And how quickly those people rise up and start their attack mode. They were probably having conversations through the whole filibuster and how they're going to get him, you know, writing down notes. Oh, yeah, he said that. We can use that. You can just see their devious minds. The sad part of this is Republicans are fighting it. And it's very important what you talk about with a cloture. And that is that, and what's his name? We were chatting earlier. What was the Republican that was, he was going back and forth with
Corker.
Ted?
Corker.
He was trying to play this off that, well, don't you think the Republicans want us to vote on this? I mean, what's your position on that? He was trying to play this off, and it was a total lie. The position is if you vote to reduce it from a 60 vote threshold, then Reid comes in, adds his fund Obamacare amendment to it, and they only have to how many votes? How many do they need?
They only
that?
Have to 51. Simple majority.
51. Yeah, which they have. And so then what happens is it goes back to the House. And then the Democrats can beat up on the House Republicans all day long, saying that they want to shut the government down and they want to hurt Americans. That is, and what's so amazing about this, Rex, is it's so blatantly obvious what they do. And what pisses me off is that Republicans, whether it's McCain or Graham or Porker or whoever the hell it is, these people who always side with the Democrats, instead of standing for the people and standing with the conservatives who were hired to fight these battles. I mean, this whole from 2010 forward was about Obamacare with the Tea Party. I mean, you know what I'm saying? This whole thing is about what happened, what Cruz did. You know, that multiple years in a row. We have built to this point. To me, this should have been dealt with, you know, a couple years ago. But I who knows? You know, we got John Boehner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, nothing's changed. I mean, it's a tearing up our economy. It's hurting people. You know, we've known for years, anybody who's followed any of it, and I guess that Republicans are so weak that it actually has to hurt a lot of people before the Republicans will get up and fight. And that's sad to me.
I don't know about that.
I don't know.
Because I don't think they want to fight it because I don't think that they're really opposed to it. That's my take.
Well,
it
depends. But when you say they, I guess that, you know, I'm like, okay, which they? You know, I think that there's Republicans who are sort of corporatists that, you know, they're okay with socialism, and then there's Republicans who are scared, and so they don't know, you know, how to fight for anything. But I don't.
Right.
But
they,
you know
they,
what
they
I'm
have,
saying?
They have. No, I agree. They haven't been led on how to fight because the quote leadership on in both houses of
Boehner,
the Republican Party
Cantor.
And Boehner, Cantor, McConnell, all those losers, And the elder statesmen of the party, like, you know, Jihad Jane McCommitt, Arizona, for God's sake, get rid of that guy. And, you know, Lindsey Lightness Loafers Gramnesty, and for God's sake, South Carolina, primary the son of a bitch. Just don't send him back here. Just get rid of him. And I know maybe you don't want him back home where you are, but just don't send him to D.C. Send him anywhere else but not D.C.
They'll go hang out at some wealthy bar, and they'll be out of your way. Just don't send
him back to D.C. I don't know if anybody, the kind of bars that Lindsey Graham hangs out at, kind of weird. But besides the point, the fact is that you know, and the punditry of quote Republicanism, the Roves and the Dick Morrises and the Bill O'Reillys, these are the real problem. And people, listen, if you're grassroots, you're listening to this
Bill
show.
O'Reilly.
You need to wake up the other conservative voting, Republican voters who are still listening to Fox News and Bill O'Reilly and Karl Rove and thinking that they actually are their friends. They're not. They're your enemy. They are screwing you over. And we're going to get to that. We got some clips about how the quote, conservative media is fucking over conservatives and libertarians. Now, here's the thing. What you have here is you have a coalition of authentic conservatives / libertarians who are fighting. And Ted Cruz is leading on this right now. Now, you may like his personality. You may not like his personality. You may know a lot about him. You may not know much about him. It's besides the point. The point is that he's doing this, and he's spearheading it, and he's leading on it. But he is a good leader. And you have to understand something. A good leader doesn't make followers. A good leader makes leaders.
Yep.
So what Ted Cruz is telling you is that he's leading on this, and he's going to get other senators and congressmen to go with him, but some of them need either courage to do what they already want to do because they're afraid of the leadership and they're being manipulated.
Or pressure.
And others need to have pressure to do what they don't want to do because they need to do the right thing irrespective of their interests. Okay? So you have to be that leader. And the way that you lead is you share this show. You share the real conservative information. You go to www.don'tfundit.com and you sign it, and then you get other people to sign it. You signing it is wonderful, but you're already an involved grassroots political activist. But you know people who don't do anything. Now, they might agree with you, but they don't really do anything. Your job is to lead them to take action, get them to sign it, and get them to make some phone calls. The switchboard number is 202-224-3121. You can get your senator, or I guess you have two of them. Everybody has two of them these days. So call both your senators, and you can call the others. You know, just because you're not their constituent doesn't
mean, including Democrats.
Yeah, just because you're not their constituent doesn't mean you can't call them. Now, granted, when you call those that you actually have the power to vote for, it carries a little bit more weight, but it never hurts to call the others. You don't need to explain anything. You don't even need to know what cloture is. Okay? You don't even have to understand the process if you don't want to. I find this stuff interesting. I hope you do too. But if you don't, that's okay. The important thing is simply to tell them, fund the government and defund Obamacare. That's it. They don't need to know why you think that way, what you're going to do, how many people you're going to tell, because they don't really care. What they do care about is tallying how many nays and yays they got. So the office gets 1,000 calls or 1,000 emails or 1,000 faxes, and they go, wow, this was 950 against and 54, then they might change their mind about it. And you saw this happen with the war in Syria. Obama was ready to go blow up Syria, right? The Senate was going to authorize
it. Gun control, too.
Yeah, and gun control had happened as well. So the simple fact is that you need to bring that pressure because they do listen to that pressure. And the whole point is make D.C. listen. Now, just to get things rolling, I mean, we don't have time to play 21. Go.
No, that's fine. I want to add something real quick before you go into a tape. It's also important that whatever state you're in, and I'm sorry I don't have all the data, and I probably wouldn't read it anyway because it would have to do every state, but you need to know what states where you have a rhino that's being primaried, because that means they're threatened. That means that they have screwed up long enough that the people of the state are running, you know, either a Tea Party or a Libertarian or a Constitution Party or whatever, you know, somebody's primarying that person. And if you know that for your state, and it's, I mean, you got two senators to do the research on, the op-ed on. And so if they're being primaried, you go, hey, by the way, Senator such and such, you're up in 2014 and you're being primaried, and I like who's primarying you, so you better make the right choice.
Yep.
That message gets through.
It does. It does. So push. Bring pressure. This is, look, this is,
be
this
nice,
is your life.
Be professional.
There's no need to not be polite. I can not be polite because I'm just a Bronco with a microphone, but you can be polite. But just bring pressure and remember, this is your life. This is your country.
Your country.
This is your liberty. You are sovereign.
Your health care.
And these people, these people are your civil servants. They work for you. Now, granted, most of them work for corporations and bankers, but they still need your vote. So the way it's supposed to work is that you delegate some of your sovereignty to your state, and your state delegates some of its sovereignty within the enumerated limits to the federal government, and then you elect these people, and they're supposed to operate within those enumerated limitations. So they work for you. So call them and tell them, as their boss, what you want them to do, or you're going to dock their pay, and then you're going to fire them. It's real simple, okay? So call them, and here's Ted Cruz's opening remarks, which kind of set up the whole thing, and you know, you can listen to it on YouTube. There's clips. You can digest it in small pieces. It's the most compelling thing that you've seen on the floor of the Senate since Charles Lindbergh was senator, save for March 6th of this year when Rand Paul gave a filibuster. That's it. The rest of this stuff that, you know, the so-called debate is just them getting on the floor to spew their bullshit and get it into the record so they can say, oh, I spoke against Obamacare and then I voted to defund it, when the vote doesn't count. So what they do is they massage the record, not only what they say on record, but the record, the vote on record, and then behind the scenes they try to work everything out. And so it's all orchestrated. And then here comes Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and Rand Paul, although on this particular point he's not as out front on it, but he's taking other important constitutional issues and being out front on them. He especially did it with drones and the Fourth and Fifth Amendments, and he was really vocal on Syria. So these guys come along, and they're actually operating as legislators are supposed to do. They're doing the job that their constituents hired them to do, and so then all of a sudden the entire proceeding is going off script. And the Republicans and the Democrats in collusion are going apeshit because they're like, this isn't going according to script. This isn't what's supposed to happen next. And so they're trying all these parliamentary tricks and they're lying, and then they're going out to the media and the Republicans are feeding the media information about Ted Cruz in order to malign him, his own team. That's how messed up this is. So get them off script. Let's see some real debate. Let's see some real governance going on. Okay, screw their script. It's just theater to manage your mind so that they can continue to do what they continue to do. So listen to the way Ted Cruz set it up, and then we'll talk about it. It's about 4.5 minutes. We'll come on the other side of this.
Madam President, I rise today in opposition to Obamacare. I rise today in an effort to speak for 26 million Texans and for 300 million Americans. All across this country, Americans are suffering because of Obamacare. Obamacare isn't working. And yet, fundamentally, there are politicians in this body who are not listening to the people. They're not listening to the concerns of their constituents. They're not listening to the jobs lost, to the people forced into part-time work, to the people losing their health insurance, to the people who are struggling. A great many Texans, a great many Americans feel that they don't have a voice. And so I hope to play some very small part in helping provide that voice for them. Madam President, I intend to speak in opposition to Obamacare. I intend to speak in support of defunding Obamacare until I am no longer able to stand, to do everything that I can to help Americans stand together and recognize this grand experiment 3.5 years ago is quite simply not working. I want to also say at the outset that I am particularly honored to be standing side by side with my friend and colleague, Senator Mike Lee from Utah. Senator Lee has shown visionary leadership in standing up and taking the mantle of leading the effort to defund Obamacare and to challenge this train wreck of a law. And Senator Lee has been repaid at times with vilification from official Washington. And I will tell you, Madam President, in my judgment, there is no senator in this body Republican or Democrat, who is more principled, who is more dedicated, who is more fearless and willing to fight for the principles that make this nation great than is Senator Mike Lee. And it is a singular privilege to serve with him and to stand side by side with him and so many others in this body, and even more importantly, so many millions of Americans all across this country. There is a problem in Washington, and the problem is bigger than a continuing resolution. It's bigger than Obamacare. It's even bigger than the budget. The most fundamental problem, the frustration, is that the men and women in Washington aren't listening. If you talk to the man and woman on the street, that's the message you hear over and over again. Why don't they listen to me? Why don't they hear what we have to say? They aren't listening to the millions of people, Democrats, Republicans, independents, libertarians across the spectrum, who say our elected officials, they get to Washington and they stop listening to the people. We just had a six-week recess during August, where a substantial percentage of members of Congress chose not to hold town halls during the 6 weeks we had to be back in our home state, not even to give the constituents a chance to say their views. Because it's very easy, when those of us who are in elected office have been here for a long time, to believe Washington knows better, to believe that all the solutions are found in Washington, D.C., and the rest of the country is better, as they say of small children, neither seen but not heard. We need millions of people to get an answer. Millions of people are asking for accountability, for responsibility, for truth from their elected officials. Truth about how Obamacare is failing the men and women of America. It is time, Madam President, quite simply, to make D.C. listen. And Madam President, that is a point I intend to make over and over again, because it is fundamentally what we are trying to do. We are trying together, the American people, to make D.C. listen.
Make D.C. listen. You're out on Twitter. It's hashtag make D.C. listen. Use it. That's what he's doing. And right there, he's basically telling you. And he was actually, what he was doing is he was trying to make the other 41 Republican senators listen to the strategy that he and Mike Lee have laid out and to follow it, because it'll work. But that's not going to happen unless you make D.C. listen. And when I say you, don't just listen to me and do what you should do. You have to create a force multiplier. Ted Cruz may be leading on this. Mike Lee may be leading on this. But they are not your leaders. They are your servants, and they are serving you. What they need to do is have you lead on this. You need to lead others to take action and bring pressure to bear on D.C. and make D.C. listen. What do you think of that opening, Chris?
I'm impressed by him. You know, I mean, I like Rand Paul a lot. I like Amash. I like, you know, a lot of them. I like Mike Lee. I think Mike Lee will come into his own as he gets more speaking time, because he's a little halting and struggles, but he's a very principled, very intelligent man. Ted Cruz, I call him Shakespeare, you know, because of his eloquence. I think a lot of people will pay attention to him now. You know, I think people will need to research his record and realize that he's an extremely successful attorney. What do they call him in Texas? Not attorney general, but solicitor attorney or whatever they call him. You know, fought Supreme Court cases, took on the Bush administration on a very important case. This guy can fight. And he can fight and maintain an eloquence that you don't see on the left and you don't see with a lot of Republicans. And that's, like I said earlier, that's a breath of fresh air. I think his opening will go down in history for people who like that stuff. You know, I think people who have no love of this country and who hate Republicans and hate conservatives and hate the Constitution will just think it's a bunch of psychobabble, but it definitely inspires me.
Yeah, No, and I think that's the point. And you know, he got up there to pressure the other senators to lay out the plan, to get the opportunity to speak without all the BS and theatrics that typically go on, although they did get into it a few times. A couple of Democrats popped up and a couple of loser Republicans tried to challenge him. And we're going to play a clip from the floor earlier today, which was actually pretty interesting. But the most important thing was he was inspiring America.
Yes.
And he dominated, like I said, 70% of Twitter trending hashtags in the United States overnight. This is in the middle of the night, the middle of the morning, whatever you want to call it, were inspired by what Ted Cruz was doing. I stayed up and watched the whole thing. I know a lot of other people did because I was tweeting and Facebooking, and I was getting a lot of retweets and a lot of shares about this stuff. People were interested. People were compelled because finally somebody stood up and said, you know what, I'm going to do what I was hired to do. And here's the thing. Even if you're a liberal, and I don't know if any liberals actually listen to this show, although I suspect for most of them it's a guilty pleasure that they would never admit to. But here's the thing. Ted Cruz ran on defunding Obamacare, and he was elected by a wide margin, which means that the people of Texas who elected him to the Senate elected him to stop this debacle of a so-called health care bill, but really is a jobs killer and an economy destroyer. That's what they hired him to do, and he's doing it. Now, I don't care if you're left, right, center, like Ted Cruz or not. The simple fact is what we want out of the people that we elect to be our civil servants in Washington is that they tell us what they're going to do, and then they actually go do it. And that's what he's doing. For example, I agree with like 0.05% of what Bernie Sanders stands for. He's the socialist from Vermont. Okay? The only thing I pretty much agree with him about is ending the Federal Reserve. Other than that, I don't see eye to eye with him on anything. But I respect him because he's honest, he's fair dealing, he tells you what he stands for, and he tells the people of Vermont what he's going to do if they elect him in D.C., and they elect him, and then he goes and does it. I respect that. That is a good civil servant. Now, I'll fight him tooth and nail because I don't agree with anything that he stands for other than ending the Federal Reserve, but I respect him for doing that. And people should, whether you're left, right, center, like Ted Cruz or not, should respect him for this principled stance because this is precisely what the people of Texas elected him to do, and he's doing it. This is the same thing that Gingrich did in 94 with the contract with America. He told the people, if you give us a majority, these are the 10 things we're going to do, and we're going to get them done in the first 100 days. And the people gave him a majority, and he did those things. Whether you like those things or not is not the point, okay? The point is that the principal focus here is that we want civil servants who tell us what they're going to do, we vote for them to do it, and then they go do it. That's the important thing to take from this. And
well,
Ted Cruz
what's
is doing
the,
that.
I'm sorry. What's
no, no,
the,
go, go.
The current poll on favorability of Congress? I mean, where are we at, 9%? I mean, that tells you right there.
Yeah. It's something south of paramecium, as popularity goes.
Yeah. And less than a cockroach.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is very – yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I just think it's important to understand when you get – there's so much data flying around, you know, through the media, through the social networks, whatever the case may be, pros, cons, you know, character smearing, making jokes about the green eggs and ham, and I'm surprised somebody
that's
didn't
pathetic.
Attack me for reading out of the Bible. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Pathetic. Well, pathetic.
You know, and so, you know, there's just so much going on right now that sometimes it's easy to get caught off guard or not to understand the issue because if you didn't understand Clothier, you wouldn't understand that the reason that, you know, they don't want to vote for that is because it gives Reid the ability to put the funding of Obamacare back in the bill and send it back to the Republicans and then force the House to be basically in the spotlight and beat up. The House handed the Senate this bill the way that America wants it and the way that all they have to do, the Republicans have to do, is stand together and they can freeze this thing in the Senate, which puts the spotlight on Harry Reid, which is where it needs to be because I just saw a recent poll that Harry Reid is like the number one most disliked guy in Congress. Harry Reid.
Sure.
It's this quiet, squeaky, sneaky, manipulative guy. You know, you just don't see him coming, and then he just slips his crap in. He speaks a certain way. You can't hardly hear him. Mousy, and he's tricky, you know. But he is a very dangerous man, and all he wants to do is win. The guy shoved Obamacare through the system. Every step of the way, all the abuse that the Republicans in the House get over the last couple years since 2010, since he got the majority back, has been focused on the House. And yet the House is constantly doing budgets and bills and doing their job and sliding them across to the Senate, and then Harry Reid just shelves it and won't let it come to the floor. And people need to focus on this man. The battle needs to be in the Senate. Now, it may not stay there. I don't know what's going to happen, but it needs to stay there. It really does. We need this battle where we got 100 people to look at versus 435. We need it in the Senate where you have the Democrat in control, because we need the lies exposed. If it gets pushed back to the House, then they can just beat up on the Republicans in the House like they have since 2010, and we lose a little bit of our media power, so to speak, for lack of a better term right now. But you understand what I'm saying. Anyway, go ahead. I interrupted you.
Yeah. No, it's fine. Well, I mean, look, the important thing is to keep in mind, people were accusing Cruz of wasting time. Well, he has the right to speak, and he had a point to make, so he did it. And then they said, you know, after this so-called filibuster, then he voted for cloture. Right. He voted for cloture with 100% of the Senate to open debate on the HR. You kind of have to do that if you're going to get anything done. What he's saying is vote no to cloture on closing debate on the CR. Because if you vote for cloture without demanding that Reid allow amendments only with a 60-vote threshold, then he gets it at 51. So don't confuse the two. And these fuckers are trying to confuse you because you don't understand Senate procedures. You don't pay attention to this stuff this much. And so their whole point is to make him look like he's lying and just trying to, you know, grandstand and stuff like that. But the strategy that he and Mike Lee have laid out will work if the Republicans would sack up and band together. So you need to hammer these people, and you need to sign that petition, get other people to sign it at www.don'tfundit.com. The switchboard number for the Capitol, you can get to the House or the Senate that way, 202-224-3121. We got a lot of good clips to get to, but unfortunately some of them are failing to appear on my console because Blog Talk Radio is a shoestring technology. But in any event, the real key factor here is that we need to really hammer this Senate. Now, this thing could fail, and it could get funding language back in the continuing resolution. That's a major alteration. Now it has to go back to the House, and then we got to go back over there and fight it out. But the important thing is that you have the opportunity in the Senate. Who knows what the results are going to be? Because this is now reality Senate. This is unscripted Senate. This is the first time you've seen unscripted Senate in a very long time. Hammer them, because pressure does work. And if all 46 Republicans vote no on cloture, they're going to force Harry Reid's hand. And that's exactly what you do in politics. It's not about getting along and being bipartisan, you know, tap dancing with each other. It's about fighting, because the stuff that they do has an effect on your life. It costs money. It costs lives. It can benefit or it can harm. You know, they say that every piece of legislation has winners and victims. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to work. Every piece of legislation is supposed to benefit the entire country. This does not. It kills jobs. It sends people from 40 hours to 29 hours of work. It's put businesses out of business. It is causing layoffs all over the place, despite what they tell you. And I got a clip of that moron Carney speaking about that. But before we get into that, I've got this feisty lady talking about the attack on Cruz.
Oh, I love it.
And I think it's pretty good. It's just 3.5 minutes, but she brings up some really, really good points. I hate to play Fox News clips, but unfortunately they're the ones who get more of these conservatives on air, and Neil Cavuto is a little bit less combative than, you know, O'Reilly and Rove and some of these other douchebags on Fox, so it's pretty good. But here's 3.5 minutes with Neil Cavuto.
Nominee and Alaska Governor Sarah Palin on what she makes of all of this right now. Governor, he's just moving a little sooner than thought. What do you make of this?
Oh, bless his heart. I'm glad he is. What Senator Cruz is doing is he's waving this flag, Neil, and he's saying, hey, what is the alternative here in fighting for our economic liberty in the United States of America? What his colleagues, too many of them, are doing, they're waving this flag. And they're saying, oh, let's surrender until we win. That's their tactic. This is nonsense. More power to Senator Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, others who are standing up for what they campaigned upon, and that was to do whatever they could do, seize whatever tool that they had. In this case, the tools are, in the legislative branch, the purse strings, getting rid of the socialized health care coverage policy of Barack Obama's.
Your overrunning mate, John McCain, said it will be a cold day in Arizona when we defund Obamacare, a very cold day. In fact, it may be a snowstorm. He all but called us a waste of time, Governor, saying, I know how this movie ends. I don't know all the scenes before it ends, but I know how it ends, and we don't defund Obamacare. What do you think of that?
Well, I think anyone who wants to wave that white flag right now and in this battle for economic liberty in America is forgetting what America was built upon. America was built upon those willing to say, politically speaking, hey, I'm going to do what's right for freedom, for liberty, and if I die, I die. That's what Senator Ted Cruz is doing right now. Do you think he's standing up there in this quasi-filibuster, do you think he's going to see as a result of this, oh, the big-name contributions coming, just pouring into his coffers, and, you know, the big political architects who've screwed so many things up lately, like, you know, Karl Rove and Dick Morris and these guys who have tried to change the Republican Party into one that would just go along to get along as a bunch of sheeple in order to appease President Obama and some of these who want to transform America. No, Senator Cruz isn't going to see that as a result. But what he will see, whether he dies, politically speaking, upon this mountaintop or not of his, is the heart and soul of Americans who care about this country and the future of our economic liberty. We will be standing there having his back, doing all that we can to support him and thanking him for being willing to fulfill his campaign promises.
Are you surprised, Governor, the resistance he's encountering within his own party? Reports that Senator Mitch McConnell was trying to block the kind of thing that he's doing right now. Other so-called mainstream Republicans who are saying it's a bad idea, that they're dragging the Ted Cruz's and the like, the party to inevitable defeat. What do you say?
Am I surprised that those within the GOP establishment, that machine, would turn on one of their own who has a record and previously at least a reputation for standing up strong on the flanks and the platform, that being freedom and capitalism and economic equality and, gosh, reward for work ethic, all those things that are the planks in the Republican platform. Am I surprised that rhinos would turn on one who would stand strong on those planks? No, because many of us have lived through that. We've come out stronger, I think, and being able to hold our head up higher, even though perhaps we're in a different place politically speaking, because that machine does control so much, of course, in the political arena in America. But no, Neil, I am not surprised.
Yeah, she's not surprised at all, and she brought up that machine, and that's really what we're fighting, isn't it, against, Chris? We're fighting against that D.C. machine.
Karl Rove?
Well, he's part of it. Karl Rove, Fox News, Mitch McConnell, John Boehner. I mean, these people are not your friends, conservatives, libertarians. These people are not your friends. But guess what? They are freaking out because you are winning. The wind is at your back, and you've got champions up there fighting. What you need to do is create that force multiplier. You need to get other people to do the work and bring the pressure to bear. And don't get distracted by the 6 million things that are going on. You got to focus up. You can only really get three things done amidst going to work, looking for a job, running your business, taking your kids to school, or whatever else it is that you got going on in your life. But this is important because this has a direct effect on what you'll be able to do in your life in the future. This bill, this law, allegedly, has been defunded and delayed illegally by the guy who's principal piece of legislation it is in the first place, is not going to reform insurance in a good way. It is not going to provide anybody with good health, and it is not going to provide any medical services. Now, there might be some benefits in there, a little sugar to get you a little addicted, but remember that the sugar is only available because of what came before. Eventually, that's going to run out because there's no production involved in this. What it does is it hampers the economy. It puts control over the economy. It reduces jobs. It reduces wealth. It reduces the flow of money in our economy because less people have work, and they can't spend money. So it's terrible all around. People are getting laid off. People are losing their health care coverage. People are being pushed into these exchanges when we don't even know what the real prices are going to be. It might appear to be a good deal up front, and then when they recalculate and fix all the stuff that they're allegedly working on, you'll find out it wasn't such a good deal, and the thing that you left, you can't go back to if you still even have a job. So is there something wrong with our medical insurance delivery system? Yes. Still the best there is in the world, but there is something wrong with it. And what's wrong with it is that government broke it over the last 60 years, piece by piece, and now they're about to break it totally. It's worked despite what government has done, not because of what government has done. And so we need to fix it. There are fixes that do need to be done. And the Republicans have actually proposed some decent fixes, believe it or not, but the Democrats have never let it come to the floor, especially Harry Reid. So that's what we need to do. The only thing that this is supposed to do, this strategy that Mike Lee and Ted Cruz have put out, is just slow the process down. You know, this is supposed to be the greatest deliberative body on the planet. Well, let them fucking deliberate. They're not deliberating. They're trying to push this through. If we don't do it immediately and get it over back to Boehner so he can, you know, accept the bullshit that we're sending him and force his conservative caucus to do what they need to do and send it back here for a vote, if we don't get it all done by Tuesday morning, the sky's going to fall. Military people won't get their checks. Social Security checks won't go out. Bullshit, bullshit, and bullshit. Okay? Most of your government functions automatically. If anybody is actually getting a Social Security check, it's a very small handful of people, and I would argue most of them are probably dead. Someone else is cashing the check. Most Social Security payments go out automatically by electronic funds transfer. That's going to happen if the government is shut down. Your military is not going to stop functioning because there is a provision to automatically fund everything involved in war. And guess what? You're involved in 74 fucking conflicts, so that's not going to slow your military down in the least. Okay? You know, maybe the guy that maintains the plumbing system at the PX is not going to show up for work the next day. Well, that's fine. You know, don't freak out about a friggin' government shutdown. They're making it sound like the world ends. So people have to get up and go to work, and if the government shut down, how are they going to do that? I don't know about you, but unless you work for the government, you don't fucking care if it's open or closed when you go to work. It doesn't make a difference to you. Okay? Now, if you're a, you know, civil service employee, well, you know, tough shit. You voted for these people, and they screwed you. Too bad. You're overpaid anyway, so you can take a day off. You know, there have been, I think, Chris, 18 government shutdowns in our country. 18 government shutdowns. Mm-hmm. The first one was in 76. Oh, well, how come it never happened before 1976, Rex? Oh, I don't know, because until 1971, we actually had some semblance of real money. And here we are, you know, 4 years after they decoupled from gold, all of a sudden the fucking government shuts down. The longest government shutdown was the most recent government shutdown. It was 21 days from Friday, December 15th, 1995, to Saturday, January 6th, 1996. Did you even notice it? No, you didn't notice it. Nothing bad happened. But what did happen was a popular, powerful, liberal Democrat president was brought to heel and had to negotiate with Speaker Newt Gingrich and move to the right. And now he takes credit for all the stuff Gingrich did.
Yeah.
So it actually worked out well.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, in this argument that's going on right now, all of the Democratic pundits and consultants, you know, everybody's a freaking consultant nowadays in this country. You know, if you flap your mouth enough, you get paid to be a consultant. It just blows me away.
No one's paying me to be a consultant.
yeah, me either.
But I flap my mouth.
Watching Hannity's panel that he did the other night was very good because he likes to put a mixed bag on there, you know, left and right, and they go at it, and it was very good. But the Democratic consultant, and I've heard this multiple times, saying, well, we won because of that shutdown. You know, Clinton got reelected. Well, that was the smallest portion of everything that occurred in our country at that time. You know, he was a lame duck president for the second term. And they got the contract with America. Many of the components, you know, moved into place. and actually reform government, reform welfare, cut down some departments, and actually paid off some of the debt. And so, you know, the question you have to ask yourself is, you won because your guy got reelected? You know, I mean, the guy, he was a total lame duck. You know, he was busy, doing you-know-what with cigars. And
yeah.
You know, that was a win? That's what you call a win? No, what the win was that the Republicans maintained control for the first time, since 1929 or something like that.
No, since 1928.
They got a bunch of,
yep.
Yeah, they got a bunch of stuff done. That's what the win was. They got done what they told their voting public. You vote us in here and we'll get this stuff done. We will fight for you. We will make it happen. That movement in that era was very similar to the Tea Party movement. You know,
sure.
I've studied both of them extensively. And the difference is that we had a leader in the House who followed through with what they said they were going to do back then, Newt Gingrich. And we have a leader in the House, and we handed him all this success, and we took away that majority control that they had in the Senate. A lot of people don't understand how much power they had in the Senate coming out of the end of the Bush era. And so what happened is that for the last, since what, 3 years now, we've had Boehner and McConnell and I can't, what do you call him, Cantor?
Eric Cantnot.
What's your, yeah, Eric Cantnot. And the rest of them, and they basically capitulated and folded on everything. That's what the problem has been. Nothing is new under the sun. Everything that's going on right now are battles we've fought before. We fought Hillary Care. We won, and it was very interesting to have some of the people on Hannity's panel who had actually been part of that battle and said, we almost lost. And the reason that we won is that we continued to fight the fight against all odds, and the people rose up. And that is exactly what Ted Cruz's message has been about, is, you know, we can win this if the people will rise up. And that's what happened with the Second Amendment battle. The people rose up.
Yeah, that's how
that's
how the gun control thing was killed, and that's how the Syria thing was killed. Now, you know, both of them are going to come back, and you're going to have to fight again. Here's the thing. This isn't, you know, a season of football, right, where, you know, you win a few games, you get into the playoffs, you win the Super Bowl, and then you're done. Or if you lose, you come back and fight again, you know, next season. This is ongoing. You're going to have to fight, and you're going to have to keep fighting, and you're going to have to slay some of the same monsters again and again and again. But you don't quit, because it's always liberty versus tyranny. And actually, since I just said that, which is a wonderful phrase that isn't coined by this guy, but he did write a book called Liberty versus Tyranny. And again, people, get off this cult of personality. All right? I'll watch Fox News. I'll watch CNN. I'll watch Democracy Now. I've even played clips from Rachel Maddow on this show when she was right about Rose Monster in 2012. Okay? And so, you know, this meme that there's, you know, if you listen to somebody or if they say something that, you know, you got to idolize them is crap, okay? Levin knows what he's talking about. I don't always agree with him. I don't think he's always right. But when he's right, he's right. And we're going to listen to him when he's right. So you got to learn to have a discerning eye. So quit falling for this cult of personality crap with politicians and media people or anything else and start thinking for yourself. But when someone speaks the truth, pay attention. And cross-reference it and measure it against, you know, what is really going on, and verify it, and you pay attention. And that's really important. Now, here's Levin talking about basically rhinos. So it's 4 minutes. Take a listen. And we only got like a 45 minutes of live show left. We're definitely spilling in overtime. So if you want to listen live and you're listening now, there's a lot of you listening now at midnight. Blog Talk Radio is going to cut you off from the browser or your mobile device. You have to call in on the phone. Don't freak out about calling in. I'm not taking any calls. We don't have time. I got at least 25 minutes of clips to bring you and Chris and I's commentary on it. But if you call in, you'll be able to hear it on your phone after midnight, and we'll probably go at least until 12:30, 12:45. The call-in number is 646-649-1013. That's 646-649-1013. Make sure you call in before midnight. Here's Levin.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Neil Cavuto, and here goes Harry.
We're not going to bow to Tea Party anarchists who deny the mere fact that Obamacare is the law. We will not bow to Tea Party anarchists who refuse to accept the Supreme Court ruled Obamacare to be constitutional.
And now here comes Mark, as in Mark Levin, the author of the runaway bestseller, Liberty Amendments. Mr. Levin, what did you make of that? Because the issue isn't so much what Harry Reid has been saying about those Republicans, but what some mainstream Republicans have been saying about those Republicans.
Well, first of all, I just saw a poll that Harry Reid is the most hated man in Washington. Go figure. With his totalitarian mindset, who would be surprised? That's number one. Number two, I have seen these French Republicans before. I have fought them my entire career. Anybody who served Ronald Reagan has fought them their entire career. Margaret Thatcher fought the equivalent of the same in Britain all these years. These are people who are quite happy with the status quo. They want to timidly play around on the fringes, but they like big government. You look at the past administration, prior to Obama, the Bush administration. Several of his staffers, as a matter of fact, are commentators on Fox. Bush never...
Careful there, young
no,
man.
No, no,
careful.
I'm just being honest. They're all over the place, as a matter of fact.
Right.
So they're not really troubled by any of this. The fact of the matter is George W. Bush bloated the debt, the second highest in American history, but for Barack Obama. So the problem is the Gerald Ford, John McCain, the Romney wing of the Republican Party has the mantle, but the grassroots wants nothing to do with them. The Tea Party came to be not just because of Barack Obama, but because of the last days of Bush with TARP, with massive spending, with subsidizing GM and Chrysler and so forth. The people have had enough. And when these people and when these moderates and the rhinos say we need to be smart, when's the last time they were smart?
Well, let me just review for those who aren't up to speed on this as you are. And you know, a lot of people seem to think that Republicans will suffer if they really fight this tooth and nail, risk a government shutdown, a credit downgrade, that sort of thing. And their argument is that it'll only hurt the party and its immediate chances. You used an analogy on your radio program, very fine program, by the way,
Thank you.
You talked about the stance that hardcore conservatives took in 1976, trying to make Ronald Reagan their nominee that year, and came with just a whisker doing just that, ultimately to get the prize itself 4 years later. Mainstream Republicans hear that, Mark, and come back and say, we don't have that amount of time. We can smell victory next year. We can smell victory in 2016. You say what?
They can smell victory where? I mean, where's the so-called mainstream Republican victory? They've had the nominees they wanted. I can't tell you how many times. When have we had great Republican victories? When the conservatives have been in charge. Two massive Reagan victories. Newt Gingrich victories. And the next big victory will be with another conservative if we can manage to break through the inside the Beltway Republican fortress there. They don't have big victories. They've had time and time. Don't you remember during the last Republican primary battles, the only guy who could win was who, Neil? Romney. He's the only guy who could win, and he lost. McCain, the only guy who could win, and he lost. The fact of the matter is, conservatives are more conservative than Republican. We're not going to be dictated to by these former staffers and ex-politicians and current politicians telling us what they cannot do, you know, take another stand next year on Obamacare and so forth. They do not have a plan for liberty. They do not have a plan for reestablishing the Constitution. They are part of the muck that is Washington, D.C., and some of us have had enough of it.
All right, so when you...
Some of us have surely had enough of it, and he's right. We are more conservative than Republican. In fact, some of us have never been Republicans. Some of us are brand new Republicans who came in with Ron Paul, and we certainly aren't interested in any of the crap that these rhinos are putting up with it. And here's the tactic that they play, and this is what you got to watch for, because this is the crap that they're trying to pull in the Senate. It's all about delay. You notice they've been giving you this bullshit about the debt ceiling, that we should fight for defunding on the debt ceiling, not on the continuing resolution. Well, the continuing resolution already addresses that. So what they're doing is that they just keep trying to move the goalpost a little bit further down so that they don't have to take a stand. A little bit further down so they don't have to take a stand. And you notice that's why they had those 40 fake votes to defund it. It's really easy to vote for something that your base likes that won't change, and you know it won't change because you don't have the votes. And then all of a sudden, someone actually comes up with a way to actually do it, and you start freaking out and undermining them. That's the game they're playing, and you've got to stop falling for it, especially losers like Bob Corker. We're going to get to him in a minute, because that son of a bitch is just something special.
Oh, yeah, he's pure. He's a Democrat. But Well, that's what he sounded like. It was all Democrat talking points, and the way he was battling with Cruz and trying to corner him. And I was thinking, that's a Democrat. I didn't even really know that much about him in before. I think it's something, you know, a historical, a moment in history here is something to think about. I studied the Gingrich, you know, the Republican Revolution in that era, and so have you. You know, both of us have. That's kind of how, kind of in a way, how we met. But I also listened to a lot of Newt's perception or perspective on what occurred and what they did to win back that majority that they won in the mid to late 90s. And Newt said it back then. He said the Republicans were settled in with being the second-tier party. They were settled in with, you know, getting the crumbs, while the Democrats and the progressives ran roughshod over the country for many, many, many decades. And he said it took a lot to get these guys to think like winners, leaders, you know, to actually stand up for what the party platform was. And yeah, it was a lot of work because they had been down for so long, the minority party for so long. And this is, it's a very important thing, and I've said this earlier tonight, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, human nature is what it is. Politics is what it is. You know, bankers and corrupt, you know, corporations and government and you know, big governments and socialism. I mean, none of this stuff is new. You know, the thing that's new right now is the internet, social media, you know, Facebook, whatever the case, you know, Blog Talk Radio. And it's getting that conversation out there and getting people to connect. You know, what is the winning factors that we're dealing with right now? And I don't want to – I beat up on Fox a lot too, but they, you know, they got some pretty good guys on there, and they've done some pretty good programs. And when the gun control issue came up, you know, they were fighting it hard, and they platformed – you know, we're a platform for a lot of people, you know, to fight the good fight, and they're doing it on this issue too. So, yeah, you got the O'Reillys and those dweebs and Krauthammer and those guys, you know, who are saying, oh, my God, never fight. You know, it doesn't look good. It makes me uncomfortable. You know, screw them. You know, that's not what we're about. We're Americans. I don't gravitate to that type of personality anyway. So the rest of us, the majority, if you really look at it, you know, the conservative, libertarian, Republicans and the non-registered, you know, the independents is the majority in this country. We've run those numbers before. We've had them on the shows. Texas talked about it. I've talked about it. You know, that's a big chunk of this country. You know, the Liberty movement, you know, the Ron Paul movement and all of that. And the third parties, you know, the main third parties. You know, you put those numbers together and that's the majority. And those people are pissed off, pissed on. And they're sick. They don't want big government. We may not agree on all issues. Get around the social issues and stuff, and people, you know, start getting all frisky and everything like that. But the issues of liberty, smaller government, quit taxing me, it's illegal anyway, you know, all those issues are pretty fundamentally the majority of this country. Quit, you know, borrowing money, quit spending money. We need reform. That is the majority. So when Ted Cruz gets up there, or Rand Paul, or Amash, or whoever, gets up there, and they make a statement, and they get attacked. I mean, they get attacked, Rex. It is mind-boggling, because I've spent several days following this. I watched after Rand did his filibuster. It's unbelievable. That machine, that media political machine, is so powerful in this country, and we experienced it in the primary. But when they get attacked, it means they're doing what the hell we want them to be doing up there for us. That's what it means. And so you have to close that other crap off. The only reason I study it is because we do radio shows and we have groups. And so I tend to delve in. Otherwise, I'd never listen to these people. I wouldn't go to the, you know, CNN or MSNBC or listen to Krauthammer or any of them. But because I comment and I write about it, I tend to dive into that stuff because I want to hear what the enemy is saying and the techniques and the strategies behind it. Otherwise, I'd never listen to these people. You know?
Yeah, you got to know your you got to know your enemy. You got to know your enemy. I agree with you 100%. And here's the thing, and you brought up a lot of stuff there, and actually I've got some clips to follow up on it, which we'll get to. It's good to hear. But, the fact is that they're trying to manage your mind and manage your opinion and get you to go along with them. And the Republicans like to be the go-along, get-along party. They don't like to be the fighting party.
They have a history of that.
Yeah, but they should be, because the platform demands it given the current environment. And then here you have people actually, you know, adhere to the platform. They believe in the Constitution. And you have to understand, and the point that you brought up, which I think is key and everybody needs to understand it, don't try to agree with everybody and everything and then, you know, find a candidate that also feels the same way. That's never going to happen. You know, you got to pick and choose your battles. Right now the battle is the budget, the continuing resolution, the defunding of Obamacare, and the debt ceiling. That's the current battle. 2 weeks ago it was preventing World War III. Okay? Things are moving quickly, and they're trying to overwhelm you and trying to confuse you so that either you give up or you get confused. And that's why they're giving you the feeding you this crap about Ted Cruz made a fake filibuster for 21 hours about a cloture, and then he voted for it. That's not true. That's not what happened. Don't pay attention to their bullshit, because they keep feeding it to you, and they repeat it so much they want you to start repeating it yourself in your own head and to other people. Don't fall for it. That's a lie. That's not what happened. So you have to realize – Yeah, I agree with you about – I mean, look, we play a lot of Fox News clips here, not because I like Fox News, and I certainly don't like Bill O'Reilly and Shep Smith, that little weasel. Eat a hamburger, Shep, for God's sake. You look like a fucking girl, you know? And you know, the Fox and Fools in the morning with their namby-pamby bullshit. But the fact is that they do give more airtime to Rand Paul, to Ted Cruz, to Justin Amash, because they need the ratings from conservatives. But it's not a conservative network by any stretch of the imagination. You know, you can see Newt on Crossfire on CNN, and, you know, unfortunately I have to put up with Van Jones too. But, you know, so and Pat Buchanan's on there sometimes. So you got to go where you're getting the real information, irrespective of how they're trying to manage it and massage it. And some of the Fox people, though, are starting to, you know, have some problems. Eric Bolling is starting to have some serious issues with his own network. Hannity, who's considerably more conservative on the radio than he is on the TV, you know, he's having some moments of clarity and actually starting to have probably be at odds with Ailes. But that's besides the point, okay? The important thing is to get the right information at the right time. But understand that these pundits may not be with you on a particular issue, and then sometimes they may be. And then sometimes they're intentionally trying to fake you out so that you will provide for collectivism, statism, corporatism under the faux guise of conservatism. And Levin brings that up again. And I notice how he kind of beat up on the Fox commentators during that clip with Cavuto. And Cavuto was like, oh, easy there. You know, screw that. Punch him in the gut. Punch him, kick him in the balls, because they need to be called out on this stuff. And we're running out of time, and I really want to get to a floor fight today between Ted Cruz and Bob Corker. It's actually 15 minutes long. I broke it up into three segments, but I really want to get it all in there. It's all the stuff that we have, if I don't get to it tonight or if you want to follow up on it, it is all posted on the Tex and Rex show page on Facebook in the comments section under the show pick for the show. So just go to the picture that promotes the show on the Tex and Rex show page, and in the comments you'll find all the videos, clips, and articles. And if you join Tex and Rex's Liberty Militia, everything is there for you to view, all the videos and everything else. We're going to try to get to that floor fight in a minute. I just want to get this in because I think Levin makes some excellent points on the so-called conservative punditry. It's 4 minutes long. We'll come back on the other side.
Had enough of it.
All right, so when you say conservatives are your best chance at winning, that wasn't the case in 1964 with Barry Goldberg. So what would be the difference?
What was that, half a century ago?
I'm too young to remember, but I think you might.
Yeah, there was Barry Goldwater, and he set the stage for Ronald Reagan. And so these are important things to remember. Who did John McCain set the stage for? Mitt Romney?
This is an important point, Mark, because it's really getting at the crux of this, I guess, internal battle for the soul of the Republican Party about immediate benefits versus thinking longer term.
Neil,
you argue it's about thinking longer term, thinking who you are as a party. Do you acknowledge that in thinking that way, your way, that it would mean and likely, almost inevitably mean, losing a lot of seats before you start gaining seats?
No, a couple of things. Number one, this isn't a battle for the soul of the Republican Party. This is a battle to restore our republic and save the country.
That's number one. The Republican Party today offers nothing, or almost nexus, or almost nothing. I don't even know what their strategy is. I don't even know what their agenda is, other than stop Obama. Well, that's not good enough. Of course we want to stop Obama. That's number one. Number two, as I was pointing out, our big victories, whether they're the two Reagan landslides, Gingrich, 2010, are based on liberty, free market principles, constitutional principles. This big government bloated, gluttonous Obama administration doesn't work, and the people know it doesn't work. They hate Obamacare. So we have on one side Obama and the French Republicans, and on the other side you have conservatives who are having to fight both.
All right, now let's address the French Republicans versus the conservatives, because as you know from my friend and colleague Chris Wallace, when he was preparing for his interview, Ted Cruz was also on this show. He said that he was getting a lot of talking points, more like bashing points, from higher Republican Party ups. And he was incredulous at that. What did you think of that?
I think it's disgusting. You know, the Republicans inside the Beltway, the former Bush staffers, the consultants, the operators, the fundraisers, the members of Congress and so forth, the bulk of them, they spend more time trashing conservatives in the Tea Party than they do fighting the people they need to be fighting. And I'm just telling you, they do it because they want to hold on to what power they have. They hope to eke through elections. They think they're going to take the Senate with no agenda whatsoever. It doesn't work that way.
So when you hear Senator Corker and the others, I guess you'd call them rhinos. Just hear me out. And they say that, look, the numbers just don't help us. In the House, it's one thing. In the Senate, it's another. Even if we were to miraculously win this and defund Obamacare in the Senate, the president would almost surely veto it. And he's got more than enough coverage so that we could never override him. It's the law of the land. Let's have another tactic, another strategy. You say what?
Well, where's his tactic and strategy? That's number one. I'd love to see it. Is it written in invisible ink? That's number one.
So you don't see this as a suicidal mission, and you can defy the numbers. What do you say?
You know, politics is hard. It's like military victories. They're hard. Things aren't handed to you. There's an opposition. There's multiple elements to the opposition. You have to fight hard, and you can't call surrender being smart. With all due respect to Senator Corker, he's a backbencher. He's never been at the front of any of these battles, including conservative battles. He's just more static, like 90% of the members of Congress right now. The fact is that these battles can be won. But, you know, we have Ted Cruz, who's been there less than a year, who's stepping up as a leader, Mike Lee also. But you have the Republican leadership leaking stuff to Chris Wallace to kneecap our own side. And you know what? I wish we Sarah Palin's right. I wish we could know the names of these quislings so we can throw them the hell out of the Republican Party.
Throw them the hell out of the Republican Party. Well, we know their names. We know who they are.
He has been so awesome lately.
Yeah, he on this he's right. And look, the simple thing is you got to understand a couple of things. First one is that these pundits are trying to manage your mind so that you support the do nothing Republicans who just want to eke by in elections with no strategy, no victory, and don't care about anything. Look, here's a simple fact. This is something that all you Republicans out there need to realize. The Republican Party died in August of 2012. It died. It's dead. All right. Now, it has a little bit of blood flowing through its veins. And that little blood is Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Mike Lee and Justin Amash. You know, that's the little blood that's left. And the idea is not to resurrect the Republican Party, because the Republican Party sucks. The idea is to take over the Republican Party and actually make it conservative/libertarian. And for you conservatives and libertarians are at odds with each other. There are conservatives that are unreasonable, and there are libertarians that are utopian purists, never going to get along. But most conservatives and most libertarians have at least a 75% overlap. Focus on that instead of the 25% where you disagree, because you got to move the ball in the conservative libertarian direction, and then you can fight about that 25%. Right now, fighting about that 25% is a waste of time, and that's what these pundits are trying to do. They're trying to get a division going, this quote civil war in the Republican Party, to put you at odds with each other over stupid issues. You need to unite. And whether you like Rand Paul or Ted Cruz or Mike Lee a lot, or you don't care for him that much, they're the spearhead on this. That's who you got to get behind, okay, and lead them to give them more power. That's the key, okay? It's about tactics and strategy. The long-term strategy is to have a true constitutional party at the national level, okay? The tactic to get there is this
CR and this defunding, and it is spearheaded by Mike Lee and Ted Cruz, so that's who you work with. So you go to www.don'tfundit.com, sign the petition, get other people to sign the petition, and make your calls to those senators. The switchboard is 202-224-3121. And Levin nailed it where he said that, you know, it's been done before, the two Reagan landslides. He mentioned Gingrich, and he mentioned 2010.
Mm-hmm.
You have that opportunity in 2014, and it starts right now. Go, Chris.
You know, when people focus, and like I said earlier, we are the majority. If you look at the numbers, the independents, the conservatives, you know, the libertarians, and you look at those numbers, that is the majority of this country. And the problem is that it gets all divided and caught up in politics, and they get focused, you know, and they play us against each other, you know, the one-issue voters, whether it's pot or abortion or, you know, tattoos in the military. You know what I mean? They get caught up in these things that are not going to get solved at this point in junction in our country. And I remember, so, you know, in my studies of the Gingrich Revolution or the Republican Revolution, you know, Newt, if anybody's ever studied Newt, knows that he didn't have 10 items in his brain. He probably had 100. He'd been in Congress for a couple of years, and he was a revolutionary. He had so many things he wanted to do. Why did he pick 10? Because it was a doable number. It was something they could do in the first 100 days. It was something that they could hand people victory on. And you know, and this is the thing. You know, that's kind of a military strategy. You know, you've got to decide. You want to win the war, but you've got to win ground. You know, you have to run these different tactics, and you have to run these different strategies, and then it all comes together over a period of time, and you have ups and downs and losses and gains. And it's so important to understand that. And so people who can focus you on specific things that are winners, like you were talking about, the 75% things that we all agree on. Well, what do we agree on? The economy, stupid. You know, I'm not calling you stupid, but you know what I'm saying. The economy, you know, healthcare, which ties to the economy. You know, the Second Amendment issues. No war. Quit playing games in the Middle East and take care of our country. You know, reform our economic issues. Cut spending. Why are you raising my taxes? Those are things that all people, you have to win specific battles. And what the pundits are good at and the consultants on the left and right, which are controlled by the same people, the same banks and the same corporations, they are really good at marketing and getting people infighting over crap. You know, and that's what they do. And I think that because of social media and the internet and alternative media, that people are, and this has been a long journey, because I remember when you and I met and we talked about building coalitions, crossing that line between the libertarian and the conservative, and finishing, you know, taking the best of Ron Paul, the best of Newt Gingrich, the best of, you know, we've come a long ways, but it was a long battle because everybody was divided because of the primary. Well, I really believe that a lot of that division wasn't just about getting your guy, whether you were a Gingrich guy or a, you know, whatever, or a Paul guy or whatever, your guy to win. Yeah, that was the goal. But it took a while to recover from the abuse and the battle and to start focusing again on things that mattered. Because the primary is over. And the next primary is not until, you know, early 2016 or late 2015. We got 2014 coming up. And the question is, are we going to still have a freaking country, you know, i.e. economy? And right now, this, you know, keeping us out of wars and focusing and getting rid of this monstrosity of a bill and stopping immigration, which looks like it's gotten stalled, which is, thank God, because it was another 1,000-page debacle that had nothing to do with reforming immigration. But, you know, it's stopping these monstrosities that will fundamentally change our country in ways that we will never be able to recover again for us, those of us who are old enough to have lived in a free country.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is seriously an existential problem, and it's not – don't get confused and think it's because of the, quote, health care law. That's part of it.
No.
All right? But there's a lot of other things going on. The entire – you know, we did –
I don't know how many shows on Syria, more than I care to even remember, but, you know, that was a trigger. It was an economic impetus for a war, okay? And then, you know, Obama did that red line thing, and then he blamed everybody else for it. And so the Democrats were going to and the Democrat wing of the Republican Party were going to give him an authorization for war to save his face. And also because there are economic interests involved, but you stopped it, all right? They're trying to take away your guns, right, while they're giving guns to al-Qaeda in Syria, but you stopped it. And now they're trying to take over your economy through your medical needs and screw jobs over. This is about controlling business, okay? This is about controlling small business and the competitors of the connected corporations through the, quote, healthcare management. That's what it's about. It's cutting jobs. It is reducing hours. It is getting people to lose their protections. Okay, that's what it's about. And when it's put in place, you're going to have the perfect mechanism for the welfare warfare state, where they have tyranny at home and imperialism abroad. And this isn't like some kind of massive conspiracy. This is just the tendency for power to expand. And when power expands and consolidates, the corrupt are attracted to it. The way you make it unattractive to them is you break it down through federalism, through subsidiarity. You diffuse that power, and therefore it's no longer as attractive to the corrupt because it doesn't wield as much. And the Republicans don't want to diminish Obama's power. They don't want to diminish the so-called Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. They don't want to end the wars. They just simply want to be in charge of these things. That's the only difference. So 2014 begins now, and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee have launched that first salvo, and they're leading on this. And leading means that they're asking you to lead. And instead, what you're doing is you're fighting with libertarians and conservatives about whether, you know, Rothbard's theory on money expansion is better than, you know, Reagan's trickle-down economics, which wasn't trickle-down economics, it was supply-side stuff from Kemp. Who cares? Okay? Just get along on the fact that you both want the Constitution to be the supreme law of the land, and this government is outside of the constitutional enumerated powers that you want to put it back in. So you find that common ground, and you work together. Okay, the real enemy is not the obvious one, Obama, the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act, all the crap that he's trying to do, all the scandals that are involved in, Harry Reid. That's the obvious enemy. It's the enemy that is pretending to be your friend, the Mitch McConnells, the Bob Corkers, the Eric Cantnots, the Johnny Boehners, the Karl Rove, the Charles Krauthammers. That's the enemy that you have to watch out for. And the answer is not to go jumping ship and thinking third party. I'm not saying join the Republican Party. I haven't. But sadly, the fact that the Democrat-Republican duopoly controls all the precincts, at the federal level, alternate parties got no shot. Build them up from your local and state level, get a governorship or two, get some more people in your state houses, then you can change the ballot access rules and you can actually have a national presence. Until then, it is far easier, and we don't have time for that, by the way. I'm not saying don't do it. You should be working on that for the long game, but we don't have time. We won't make it that far if we don't take over the existing structure, which is the Republican Party. And you've got a team in there right now. It's like an MI team, a Mission Impossible team that's in there behind enemy lines doing the work. And you've got to be their tactical support. If you don't give Ted Cruz and Mike Lee tactical support, all they're doing is talking. But if you give them tactical support, things will happen. So go to www.don'tfundit.com, okay, and sign the thing and get other people to do it. It's currently at 1,843,000, all right? Let's get it up another 7,000 before we're done broadcasting. We're not going to get to the floor fight that happened today until after hours. We got 18 minutes live. If you want to listen to the floor fight that happened earlier with Ted Cruz and Bob Corker, it's really fantastic. It's on our show page, the Text and Rec show page. It's in Coalition of Freedom, Chris's group on Facebook. Join that. We'll be getting to it in the after hours. If you're listening to podcasts, just keep going. If you want to listen live, there's a lot of you listening live. If you want to listen to it live tonight, 646-649-1013. Real quick, because I think that it was teed up pretty good by Levin. Here's Sarah Palin talking about third parties, and I think it's pretty good the way she does it. It's only 2.5 minute clip, and I'll come back on the other side of this.
Yeah, you sure. Talk about moderates in the party. Here we go, Neil, about the parties. People talk about maybe a need for a third party. I dare say we already have a third party. We've got the Liberal Democrats. We've got the GOP machine, And then we've got the good guys. That's the third party. Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, some of these guys working so extremely hard for, again, standing strong on at least what used to be the planks in the Republican platform. That's the party. Those are the players in a party whom I will support.
Sounds like you're inching away from the Republican Party, at least as we knew it.
I've always been very independent. I've always been very independent up here in Alaska. That's why I'm not in the good graces of the Alaskan political party, perhaps, when it comes to Republican machinery up here. I've had to fight them. I've taken on sitting Republican governors, mayors, others who were not serving for the right reason. Neil, and the right reason, it's simple. It is so simple. It's you listen to the people. You do the will of the people. You stay strong and committed to what it is that you promise to do for the people, and then you know don't be surprised if people turn on you and say nasty things about you. You know, you thicken up your skin and you stand strong and you carry on. Again, exactly like Ted Cruz is doing.
You know, I talked to former Texas Senator Phil Gramm, will be a special guest of mine on Fox Business Network tonight, which, Governor, if you don't get, you should demand. And one of the things that he has been echoing to me is, I like what Ted Cruz is doing. I like what Sarah Palin is saying. There are just better ways to get the same result. That is, you're going nowhere with the math as he sees it, trying to defund Obamacare. You might have a far better shot at maybe delaying it. And that's why he puts more credence in attaching a delay in Obamacare to raising the debt ceiling than he does in this venture. What do you make of that?
Now, I say, you know, tell the soldiers that who had to storm the beaches, say on Omaha Beach, say those who have fought physically and in a political arena for the sovereignty of America and for our economic liberty and our national security, tell them, oh, wait another day and perhaps the battle will get easier tomorrow. No, that, again, that's waving the white flag. And time is short before our country is fundamentally transformed, exactly as Barack Obama had promised.
There you go. So she's showing you who's fighting, and she's been there. She's done it. I mean, look, like Sarah Palin, don't like Sarah Palin, I don't really care. I happen to think she's feisty, and what she did was she took on the corrupt, entrenched Rhino Republicans in Alaska and did some great things for her state. Now, you know, she came to your attention because – you know, Senator Jihad Jane McCain picked her as his running mate to try to fool the Tea Party into voting for him. As good as she was, he's so bad that it didn't work, and you ended up with Barack Obama. But she is a kingmaker. She helped Cruz
Yep.
get where he is. She is backing actual conservative candidates, and she can really help. And she knows what she's talking about because she's got the experience now after these years working on it. And she's telling you that these are the guys that are your champions. And you need to give them tactical support. Now, we've done four shows on this, all right? They're all relevant even though we did them, you know, first one a month ago now, okay, because we dissected this whole thing. We ripped apart the actual Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, which doesn't protect patients and is not fucking affordable. We ripped it apart. Then we talked about why a government shutdown wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. In fact, it would be a good thing, not only because it would actually force negotiation, okay, but because it would actually strengthen the conservative libertarian position within the Republican Party, and it is an electoral victory so that we can actually unseat the Democrats from the Senate in 2014 and get an eye out for 2016. So it's a win all around, and it's good for the country because this thing is putting people who liked it in the first place out of business. It is affecting and damaging people who actually supported it, who in fact even still support some of the things it's supposed to do. But now that, you know, you have to pass it to find out what's in it, now that they're seeing what's in it, they're realizing it doesn't work. The unions want out of it. All the big corporations have been given exemptions already, and the ones that haven't have, you know, like 15,000 spouses at UPS were denied coverage. 110,000 people, retirees at IBM, lost their coverage. You know, the Cleveland Clinic is laying people off, okay? It's damaging people who actually supported what it said it was going to do. So even if you liked this thing at the beginning, it's not working. So Obama's already defunded and delayed half of it for corporations and government, right? And he's foisting it upon individuals and small businesses. Well, let's be fair. You know, fairness is important. They're always talking about fairness. Let's be fair. If this thing isn't good for some people, then it's not good for any people. So let's just delay it for everybody and fix it, undo it, scrap it, start over again. I don't care. Just don't put this thing in place. That's the key. And it's the pivot point for conservative slash libertarian representatives within the Republican Party. That's who you have to support. So quit fighting with each other, work with each other, and send in this tactical support. It's huge. So share the shows, and I'll put together another picture and put it in the Tex and Rex show page. So go to the Tex and Rex show page on Facebook. It'll have all four of these shows in one place to share with people. Maybe I'll do a highlight clip or something if I have time. Remember, Chris and I don't get paid for this. It actually costs us money to do it, but we're doing it to get you this information, which is vital. What do you think of what Sarah said there, Chris?
I love her. I've always liked Sarah Palin, but I spent half my life in Alaska, so I know what she did.
you're a little biased.
And the thing is that, having been there, been there, done that, and I saw the ground roots corruption in the state. I watched her battle through that in different positions as she was climbing the ladder to become a governor. I watched her take on the oil companies. I mean, she was not a French Republican. That's really what it boils down to. These crony capitalist Republicans are just about as bad as you can get. And the thing is that we're stuck with them if we're on the right, so to speak. And they have control of a lot of key positions. The Tea Party wiped a lot of them out. They fought back. I think people relaxed. And, thinking, oh, look at all the wonderful success we handed the party. We took the party over, and look at this. We got the House and took away the supermajority in the Senate. And look, all these governorships and state houses we won. And, okay, I can go back to my life now. That was the mistake, because progressives have been at this game for 100 years. They're here to win. Rhinos, that goes back for many, 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 many decades in this country in terms of the Republican Party and corporatism or fascism, which is my actual favorite word, where it's all, the big companies and it's just, it's a mess. And the thing is, and you say this all the time, freedom is messy and we have to fight, we have to win, and we have to keep winning. This country, I have a thread on this on my group on finances and economics, and we don't talk about it much, but, Obamacare is just one more straw on the camel's back of a very, very bad situation that all this printing and borrowing money is bringing us to. There's some huge bubbles out there, and bubbles always pop. That's just a fact. They always pop. And how hard this is going to hit us is going to be dependent on things like immigration and Obamacare and everything else. Republicans need to start winning some battles and stopping this government. It's out of control. And the direction they're leading us, you think Audit 8 was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. And that's a hard, cold reality. A lot of people don't want to face it. You and I both study it a lot, so we know what's happening and some of the triggers and things like that. But this is bad, and they're lying their butts off. I mean, there's no two ways about it. I was just looking at while I was listening to the clip, Obama going around saying the Republicans are fighting so hard because they know that people like Obamacare. I mean, it's just amazing the things that come out of these people's mouths.
That doesn't even make any sense.
Ted Cruz had 21 hours. He read hundreds of examples, yep, from everything, and all the articles that have come out in the last couple of weeks on, whether it was FedEx or, the unions or people shutting off spousal support or, the nonpartisan organizations that have put together reports on what insurance rates are skyrocketing to.
Chris, are you sure you're right about that? All these people losing their jobs and their coverage. I mean, is that true?
Oh my God!
I've seen the articles. I've seen the numbers. But I'm pretty sure that those are just anecdotes. That's not really happening. In fact, I got it from a pretty good source. The White House itself. Here's that douchebag mouthpiece. I mean, I don't know how the Obama administration. By the way, you know, that dude's got like the lowest popularity ratings he's ever had because people are starting to really not buy this. Now, of course, there are those on the left that are still raptured with the guy. He can do no wrong, okay? But there are people on the left who are like, I can't believe we hired this guy. He really sucks. But only Obama could find somebody who could make Robert Gibbs look like a pretty good press secretary, and that would be Carney.
Oh, God.
It's a much better apple.
So maybe Ted Cruz should acknowledge the good things there, but why won't you acknowledge, for example, the one I asked before, 55,000 employees who had health care through the employer.
Ed,
did you not say dozens of times that you...
Really, I feel like we're doing this sideshow thing.
As you get to keep your health care.
Absolutely. Yes. If you have, again, you can come up with anecdotes, but the overwhelming facts dispute this. Employers are shedding employees from insurance plans because of the Affordable Care Act, or that they're moving them into part-time status because of this. Again, you can ignore the data and come and present competing anecdotes. And again, I'm not diminishing.
Journal yesterday saying 55,000 people are moving.
That's
again,
the data.
We can.
No, that's an anecdote. There's a difference
data.
Between anecdote
and
data.
Data.
Yes, Ann.
Thank you very much. Data's a
can you believe that?
It's just unreal.
If people losing their jobs and having their hours cut by 25%, that's just anecdotal. Screw you, Mr. Carney. You're the one with a cushy six-figure job just for being a mouthpiece for this debacle of an administration, and you dare say that people losing their jobs and spousal coverage and retirement medical benefits is anecdotal. This is the kind of crap that they're feeding. These people are evil. They don't, you know, they're selling you this thing that we got 30 million people, but people are going to be dead in the streets if we don't. We're really compassionate. We want to provide everybody with health care. They don't care. They don't care that you're losing your job. They don't care that you don't have work. They don't care that you've lost 25% of your hours. I mean,
70%
it's wonderful.
Of the jobs are part-time.
They give you free health care at the cost of 25% of your wages. That's not free. That's what's wrong with these people. And he, you know
the,
what? Here,
evil.
I'm going to play the follow-up because this prick actually was asked if he would enroll – in this thing. And here's the thing.
Mm.
We're talking about fairness, right? Progressives love to talk about fairness and equality and everybody needs to have a fair shot and all that stuff. That's fantastic. Okay, but let's understand something. Fairness and equality means that you have equal treatment under the law and you have equal dignity as a human being. Fairness does not mean that you're guaranteed a good outcome. That's something that you have to bust your ass for. And don't do it in a selfish way, all right? Don't be an objectivist, Ayn Rand, our virtue of selfishness kind of person. You bust your ass to get what you want to get ahead. But you know what? When somebody really needs some help, not some lazy douchebag that isn't doing what they're supposed to do, but most people who are in bad situations aren't necessarily there through their own fault. Maybe they don't have a skill. Maybe they haven't learned something. Maybe no one's inspired them. You be that person to help them. You don't hold a gun to someone else's head and make them do it through the government. You do it yourself. But here's Carney being asked if he would enroll in these exchanges that are apparently so friggin' – if this is so friggin' good, how come all these people aren't signing up for it?
From the Wall Street Journal, let's take the attacks on Republicans out. You're talking about enrollment. Will Jay Carney enroll in this? Will White House staff enroll in Obamacare?
Again, everybody – you, if you have –
let's start with you.
If I, in a future life, don't have employer
– so great.
Ed, does everybody here agree that, like, we can ask questions and answer them? But if you want to, you're not even letting me answer the question. Ed. I mean, I'm not quite sure what your
would
your
you enroll
goal here.
Would you enroll?
Absolutely.
It's a simple question. Okay,
absolutely.
So you are.
If I did not, Ed, if I did not have employer provided health insurance, like I'm sure you do, unless there's something about Fox I don't know, then I would absolutely enroll, and it would be.
Did you hear that? I mean, he's basically saying that, you know, if I don't have a job in the future, look, if it's so good, enroll now. Why are you exempt, Mr. Carney? Why are you exempt and you're forcing plain old middle class and low and poor Americans to get into these exchanges, and you won't get into these exchanges? If they're so fucking good, why don't you be the first one to sign up, Mr. Obama?
Well, you know, here's the thing, Rex, on top of all of this is the issue that, number one, these exchanges aren't ready. I mean, we want to get to down to fundamental facts here, and the fact that they've given a year delay to corporations, it puts all the pressure on the individual signing up, and it puts all the pressure on the small businesses. I believe they're trying to – they want this stuff to go cyclomatic and businesses to force people into these exchanges. This is the thing that is not discussed, and I've heard several pieces on it. I heard it – Cruz talked about it in his filibuster. I've heard several clips on it, and I think I even gave you a clip of Obama – you know, and all these liberals saying they want a single-payer system. They want government-socialized medicine. That's how much control. They don't just want to disrupt the system. They want to crash the damn system. And it seems like nobody is able to keep that point at the top of the
yeah.
conversation. And it
hey, Chris, real quick.
Because
hey,
it's
Chris,
falling apart.
Chris, let me interrupt you real quick. If you're listening live, you've got less than 90 seconds to call in so you can continue to listen on your phone. I can't take your call, but you can listen live. The call-in number is 646-649-1013. If you're listening, in your browser or MP3 later, just keep going. We're gonna move pretty fast now because I want to cover that floor fight. But if you want to listen live, 646-649-1013. Yeah, Chris, I mean, I think you're absolutely right. And look, it's so overwhelming, not just this friggin' law and the CR and all the stuff that they're doing. It's just easy to run around and feel dejected and just
game,
you know,
over, man. It's game over.
You know, but that's not the right attitude. The right attitude is to fight. Okay? Now, you can't fight everything, all right? You can only slay so many dragons at once. So focus up. Right now, the dragon that is in front of you, okay, is the continuing resolution and defunding Obamacare, and slightly thereafter it's got to tail the debt limit, okay? That's the dragon that's in front of you. Quit worrying about all the other dragons. Don't worry about the UN treaty that Kerry just signed. Remember, whatever Kerry does, it has to be approved by Congress first, and right now they're busy with this.
Two-thirds.
So that's not an issue, okay? If you're worried about, them taking your guns away, I'm not saying these things aren't important that you don't have to work on them, but this is the point right now that you got to work on. So go to www.don'tfundit.com and make sure that you call and hammer these senators. They're going to have this cloture vote tomorrow. The Republicans need to stand unified. If all 46 of them vote for no cloture, then Harry Reid cannot strip the defunding language out of the resolution, number 59, the continuing resolution, with his 51 votes. He needs 60, which means the Republicans can block it. That is the battle. The House switchboard number is 202-224-3121, and especially call those vulnerable senators who are likely to flip, like Lindsey Lightness Loafers, Gramnesty, John Jihad Jane Muhammad, Flake. You know, that these are the guys you got to call, and you got some champs in there. You know, like Jeff Sessions. That's the guy who's standing up. You know, with Cruz, with Lee, with Rand Paul. And don't give me this crap. Well, Rand Paul's fighting with Cruz, but no, he's not. Okay? He may not be fully behind this particular strategy. He may not be as directly involved, but he's going to stand with Cruz and with Lee because he agrees with this. Maybe he had a slightly different angle on it, but he was busy doing other things. They ran point on this. He's with them on this. So don't buy that garbage. Okay? And I really want you to call Bob Corker, and I wish I had his number. I'd call it out. But, Chris, unless you got something you want to throw in there, I want to get into this floor fight.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. This occurred earlier today, okay? And this is just really interesting because here you have a perfect display of how this game is played. These guys are just going apeshit because Cruz and Lee are not playing the script. They're actually doing their job. And senators aren't supposed to do their job. They're supposed to decide in the back room when everything is covered up exactly what they're doing, and then they come out on C-SPAN on the floor and play it out for you. Okay, that's how they do it, so that you go, oh, the process is interesting, and I guess we couldn't defund it. Oh, it's just too bad. Okay, but Lee and Cruz are saying, no, I'm here to do a job. I was hired to do a job. I'm a civil servant, and I have a responsibility to my constituents. I'm going to do the job I told them I was going to do. And here comes Bob Corker with his, trying to find ways to provide cover for Dick Durbin and Harry Reid and get kind of box Cruz and Lee in. The problem is that these guys
are stale moss. They've got no chops. But the young bloods, okay, the young bloods, the new sheriffs in town, they got chops. And it's just an interesting exchange. This is a 50-minute, actually it was a 38-minute exchange. I can't play all of it because Block Talk Radio is going to cut us off. But I broke it up into little segments so that Chris and I could comment on it. Chris, we'll have to be real brief because we're going to run out of time. Mm-hmm. But here's the first bit.
President, I wonder if it would be
Senator from Tennessee.
It would be appropriate if I were to ask the senator from Utah a question, if he would take the question.
Without objection.
This has been a rather confusing week, I know. I don't think ever in the history of the Senate have we had a 21-hour filibuster, and then the persons carrying out the filibuster voted for the issue they were filibustering. I don't think that's happened in the history of our country, and I just want to make sure I understand. I was just over at the House and talked to members of leadership there, and they would like to get the piece of legislation from the Senate over there as quickly as possible so they could respond. Now, I think all of us on this side would like to see some changes to the CR, changes that we believe to be good policy. And over on the House side, we have a majority of Republicans, and I know that they would like to send back to us some changes that I think many of us would support. Now, in talking earlier with a senator from Texas, it's my understanding that the reason you don't want to send a bill over to the House who could possibly put in place some very good policies for us here is that you want the American people and the outside groups that you've been in contact with to be able to watch us tomorrow. And so it would seem, I'm just asking the question, is it more important to the senator from Texas and the senator from Utah that the people around the country watch this vote, or is it more important to us that we have a good policy outcome from our standpoint and actually have a body that has a majority of Republicans to be able to react and send back something of good policy? This is confusing to me because I know the leadership there wishes to be able to respond as quickly as possible, but I'm understanding the reason we're waiting is that y'all have sent out releases and emails and you want everybody to be able to watch, and it just doesn't seem to me that that's in our nation's interest. Nor is it candidly in the interest of those who want to see good policy on the conservative side come out of this CR. I just wondered if you might respond to that.
Madam President.
The senator from Texas.
Since the senator from Tennessee has made reference to me, I would ask for unanimous consent that I might engage in a colloquy with the senator from Tennessee and the senator from Utah.
Is there objection? Without objection.
Madam President.
Is there objection?
We need time. There's a reasonable time. I'd be happy to do it, but this is not going to be another performance by anybody this afternoon.
For how long do the senators wish to engage in a colloquy?
I cannot imagine it would extend beyond 10 minutes.
Right. Is there objection to the request?
No.
Without objection.
Madam President, I appreciate the senator from Tennessee's comments supporting the majority leader. And I know the senator from Tennessee is learned on Senate procedures, so that I know that he must have made a misstatement when he moments ago suggested that those of us who participated in the filibuster the other day somehow changed our position in voting for the motion to proceed. And the reason I know the senator from Tennessee is mistaken is because during the course of that filibuster, I explicitly stated I support the motion to proceed. I stated that a week before the filibuster repeatedly. I have always stated that the vote on the motion to proceed, the vote on cloture to motion to proceed, was going to be unanimous. Indeed, I would note that I offered a unanimous consent during that filibuster that we vitiate the cloture and all agree to proceed because everyone in this chamber, I said I expect the vote will be unanimous, everyone in this chamber wants to proceed to this bill. Now, the senator from Tennessee, being learned in Senate procedure, knows that there's a bit, wants to proceed to this bill. Now, the senator from Tennessee, being learned in Senate procedure, knows that there's a big difference between that vote on Wednesday, which I might note when the vote tally was down there for Republicans, I put my not only did I vote yes early, but I put my recommendation for every Republican to vote yes. Because, of course, we should get on the bill. The vote tomorrow on cloture on the bill is a very different bill, and I know the senator from Tennessee is quite aware of that. The vote tomorrow is a vote to cut off debate on the bill. And so, as I said during the filibuster 2 days ago, as I have said for weeks, it is the vote tomorrow, cloture on the bill, that matters, because anyone voting tomorrow in favor of cloture is voting in favor of granting the majority leader the ability to fund Obamacare. And I know my friend from Tennessee understands that, so I'm sure his statement suggesting that the vote on the motion to proceed meant anything other than what it obviously meant, I know that was a statement in error.
That was a statement in error, and it was far more than that.
In other words, you're a bloody-ass liar. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, you're exactly right. He's lying. He was lying through his teeth and trying to box him in, and I think Cruz handled it deftly, okay, because he laid out the strategy.
He must have had lunch with Durbin coming in.
These Democrats and these Democrat wing of the Republican Party, they're working together. But I think Cruz deftly laid out the strategy, and then Corker lies about it, and then in the next clip he doubles down on the lie while disparaging his, quote, friend from Texas. But what I found interesting is the first thing that Corker said, and by the way, this prick needs to be hammered, Senator Bob Corker.
Is he up for reelection?
I have no idea. Allegedly Republican from Tennessee. His number is 202-224-3344. Give him a little ring. Tell him Rex says hi and shut the fuck up, okay? 202-224-3344. All right? The first thing he said was, we want to make changes to the Graves CR. Well, why do you want to make changes to it? This is a Republican CR that fully funds government and defunds Obamacare. Why are you trying to change it, Bob Corker? You should be trying to pass it, right? It fully funds the government and defunds Obamacare. And then the other thing he said is, you know, I know that you're doing this because you sent out emails and tweets and press releases to people out there. Why is he faulting Mike Lee and Ted Cruz for communicating with their constituents? And why doesn't he want America to watch the vote tomorrow? Why doesn't he want America watching what he's doing? And then Reid comes in and says, you know, we got to rush this. Why are we rushing this? You know, they say they're rushing it because they want to avoid the government shutdown. We got to avoid the shutdown. Well, you know what? You've had plenty of time to work on this. You chose to wait till the last minute. You chose to go on extended vacations. So this is your fault anyway, Mr. Reid, because you're the one that sets the schedule, you and Boehner. All right? So it's your fault that it got delayed. But, you know, there's a simple solution to this, Chris. I mean, if it's that big a deal and this is the greatest deliberative body on the planet, then they should deliberate. And since they're actually deliberating now and there's actually something going on and they're bringing to the table to force negotiations, well, why can't John Boehner write a CR that fully funds government for 10 days and delays Obamacare by 10 days? I mean, I don't think anybody – if the changes aren't ready anyway, they could afford another 10 days to get this shit fixed. So you could just delay it for 10 days and they could actually work on this stuff. These things are very simple to solve. That's not what they want to do. They want to lie. They want to rush it through. They want to do it when you're not watching. You know, you got to find out what's in it after we pass it, right?
Well, they want to shove it back to the House. They want to shove it back to the House where – they can beat up on the House Republicans again because they've had, you know, 4, 5, 6 good years of doing it. So they're comfortable beating up on them over there, and they got John Boehner to stutter around in between golf balls. One of the things, two points. One, the first point is Ted Cruz just had a 21-hour debate, and if they really wanted to debate this, that would have been the perfect time to do it so that we could have got to business today.
Only two of them showed up.
That, and then I listened to Reid, you know, squeak up to the microphone earlier today and talking about time and the importance of time. And he wasted about 45 minutes babbling while he was telling us how important time was. It's just all game. And that's the most disgusting part of it. It's bull crap. And if you step back and you have your head screwed on straight and you pay attention, you can see the game being played. And the key in this whole thing is not getting swayed by the lies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's one of the things that you and I and Tex and Robert have spent the last couple years trying to help people understand, you know, is how to read what you're hearing and how to make good decisions in your mind. So you know what you should back, where what you should back, what you shouldn't back, what you should worry about, what you shouldn't worry about, you know.
Yep.
That's the important thing. Because these battles are never going to end.
No, it's never going to end. Liberty requires perpetual vigilance. But no, that's a great point. You have to learn that they're lying. And here's the thing. That now you've got, you know, these rhinos and the Democrats colluding to try to get back on their little script because they've got a couple of gone rogue wacko birds who are actually doing their jobs. And again, you're the tactical support for these guys. So get on point. And we got to move quick because, believe it or not, we're already 15 minutes in overtime.
Blog
Talk Radio's cut us off before. Go.
Bob Corker is up for re-election.
Excellent. Bob Corker.
I agree.
Republican, Tennessee, up for re-election. Phone number, 202-224-3344. Everybody in Tennessee, call. If you know somebody in Tennessee, call them, get them to call. And by all means, if you're not in Tennessee, call him anyway. Tell him no to cloture and that you're watching him. Do it. 202-224-3344. Here's another 7 minutes on that exchange. Hopefully, Block Talk Radio won't cut us off and we can get through these.
Well, actually, I appreciate this opportunity. What we have before us is a bill that defunds Obamacare. It's the bill that the House has sent over. So you're right. Tomorrow's vote is a vote to end debate in support of exactly what the House of Representatives has sent over. That is a confusing thing to a lot of folks, but you're exactly right. The House has sent over here policy that I actually support. And that is the funding, the health care bill, because of the damage that it's creating to our country. I wish the CR number was a little lower. I wish it was at 967 instead of 988, but that's exactly right. And so we're going to be cutting off debate on a bill that the House Republicans have sent over to us. So you're exactly right. And that's an important vote. And that is a vote in support of the House. Something in addition, supporting the House would be getting whatever we're going to do back over to them so that they are not jammed. But it's my understanding, again, relative to this vote tonight happening tomorrow instead, is that my two colleagues, who I respect, have sent out emails around the world and turned this into a show, possibly, and therefore they want people around the world to watch, maybe them and others on the Senate floor, and that is taking priority over getting legislation back to the House so they could take action before the country's government shuts down, and by the way, causing them possibly to put in place, again, some other good policies. I yield.
I appreciate my friend from Tennessee's comments. And I would note that he suggested that this is confusing. And I guess I don't think it's all that confusing. The senator from Tennessee says that a vote in favor of cloture is a vote in favor of the House bill and in favor of defunding Obamacare. If that's the case, then the question I would pose to my friend from Tennessee, why is Majority Leader Harry Reid going to vote the same way you're proposing to vote? Why is every Democrat in this chamber going to vote the way you're proposing to vote? If this is a vote in favor of defunding Obamacare, is it the senator from Tennessee's suggestion that the Majority Leader and the Senate Democrats are confused about this vote?
Well, I would respond that after a 21-hour filibuster yesterday, you voted in favor of the thing you're filibustering, and Senator Harry Reid joined you in that, too. So it seems to me that they're very similar.
Does the senator from Tennessee dispute that the vote Wednesday was a vote to take up the bill, whereas the vote tomorrow will be a vote that will do two things if there are 60 votes? If enough Republicans cross the aisle, join Majority Leader Harry Reid and the Democrats, it will, number one, cut off all debate, and it will, number two, what makes the vote tomorrow so significant is the Majority Leader has already filed an amendment. That amendment guts the House continuing resolution and funds Obamacare in its entirety. And given that that amendment is pending, and if cloture is invoked, that amendment can be passed with 51 votes, does the senator from Tennessee disagree that once cloture is invoked, Harry Reid, the majority leader, will be able to fund Obamacare with 51 votes?
I agree that the Senate rule that's in place that allows post-cloture votes at a 51-vote majority has been there for decades and generations, and it's the same rule that we have has been there for decades and generations, and it's the same rule that we have operated under for decades. So let me just ask this question. So we have a bill before us that I support. I think the senator from Texas supports. The senator from Utah supports, I think. So my question is, we have a bill that we support. The rules of the Senate have been here for decades, for generations, and for centuries in many cases. So are you thinking the House of Representatives would like for us to vote against cloture on their bill?
Well, I thank my friend.
Well, let me ask you this. And if you think that's what they wish for us to do, why is it that they're already developing language and legislation to send back over? It seems to me that they've already indicated that they view this strategy as a box canyon because they understand the Senate rules. And it looks as if to me they're already developing language to send something back over, because even though we're in the Senate, and I know all three of us
Nothing
are relatively new, somehow or another, they knew the Senate rules before they sent it over. So I'm a little confused, and tell me what happens if the Senate were not to invoke cloture on a bill that we support. What then happens? I'd like to understand.
Well, I appreciate that question from my friend from Tennessee, and there are several pieces of it. One, he asked, would the House Republicans like for us not to invoke cloture? I can tell you this morning I spoke to over a dozen House members who explicitly said it would be fantastic if Senate Republicans could show the same unity we did and vote against cloture, because Majority Leader Reid has filed an amendment to gut our language. I would note also, the senator from Tennessee keeps expressing confusion. I have to admit, I don't think the American people are confused. And I would ask the senator from Tennessee, you agreed a moment ago, if I understood you correctly, that if 60 senators vote in favor of cloture, Majority Leader Harry Reid will be able to fund Obamacare in its entirety. Let me ask the counterpart. If 41 Republicans stood together and voted against cloture because we said we do not support the amendment that Majority Leader Reid has filed to fund Obamacare, when we told our constituents we oppose Obamacare, we meant it. So we are not going to be complicit in giving Harry Reid the ability to fund Obamacare. Would Majority Leader Harry Reid be able to proceed and fund Obamacare if 41 Republicans stood together against cloture?
Are you there?
I am here. I'm saying no. If 41 Republicans stand together, Harry Reid cannot gut the CR of the defunding language. So, Tennessee, put Bob Corker in a box canyon, 202-224-3344. Look, this guy is lying through his teeth to provide cover for Reid and the Democrats, because the only thing that these rhino Republicans, these squishes, these French Republicans, whatever the fuck you want to call them, the only thing that they're interested in is having a vote on record that they defunded. Not to actually defund, they just want to vote on record. That's what he's talking about. And the way that this thing came about, and you know, if you don't watch a lot of the Senate stuff, then you don't really know, but the way this thing came about was Harry Reid came in to make a motion. Look, on Monday, he scheduled the vote to have 30 hours of debate, alternating hours, 15 for the Republicans and I think 15 for the Democrats or something like that. On Monday, he scheduled it for Wednesday afternoon. Ted took the floor and gave a 21-hour speech that ended at noon, right before they voted to open the floor for debate on this bill, okay? And the idea was that after the 30 hours that you would vote on cloture to end debate, and that would be Friday morning, okay? That was the schedule. Harry Reid came in tonight, okay, because he knows that you're going to be watching tomorrow because it's been announced, and Ted spoke about it with Mike Lee for 21 hours, so everybody was aware of it. And so he made a motion to go to cloture vote this evening, Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Lee objected, and it only takes one objection to prevent that from happening. So what Corker came in to do was try to get it so that they would vote on cloture tonight when no one's watching, as opposed to tomorrow. So you'll wake up tomorrow morning to watch the cloture vote, and you'll find it already happened. That's the dirty trick that these fucking rhino Republicans were trying to play on you. And Mike Lee and Ted Cruz stood in the breach and stopped it, and well, I might add. That's why you've got to send in tactical support and support these guys. That's why this is important. That's why these guys are your liberty champions. That's why these guys are standing up for the Constitution. And if you don't get busy and create a force multiplier and get other people calling and get other people going to www.don'tfundit.com, then you're going to take the wind out of their sails. And right now their sails are flowing hard. So you need to get busy. All right, we're at 1,845,294 on that petition. We got to get that number up because these numbers matter, and you've got to make your calls. The House switchboard number is 202-224-3121. Make sure that you make your calls and make sure that you're watching these guys. So, you know, that exchange was about trying to box them in order to get the vote tonight. It didn't happen. It's likely to happen tomorrow. Now, I don't know what other shenanigans and games they're going to play, but wasn't that fascinating, Chris?
Oh, you bet. I guarantee you they're going to be busy all night long wheeling and dealing our country away. This is just a game to these people. I mean, this is our life. This is, you know, the last 6 years of hell in this economy and what our recovery is or isn't going to look like. And you got a couple guys that are willing to stand strong on this and fight it. I think the big thing, you know, you and I were kind of chatting there, and we also talked about this earlier, this it gets a little bit confusing, and, of course, the mainstream media is never going to tell you the truth, and you've got to, you know, take the time to sit down and watch some of these interchanges, and then you've got to ask questions that people understand what the hell they just said, because I know it confused me a little bit on the cloture vote. Realizing that, okay, you know, the vote does this, but, okay, why are they pushing so hard to get this vote pushed through right now? Because basically they want Reid to be able to put back in Obamacare and then send it back to the House so they can beat up on the House Republicans, which, like I said before, the whole mainstream media and Obama, you know, they've been doing it for so long, that didn't take any effort for them. To leave this bill in the Senate is where the exposure is the best. It's a smaller body, and it exposes more of the corruption in the Senate. And so It's good that this conversation is going on there.
And you can thank Mike Lee and Ted Cruz for that. And here's the last 4 minutes of that exchange where Mike Lee actually puts down Reid's little trick that Corker, on behalf of the, quote, French Republicans, red rhinos, squishes, whatever the hell you want to call them, was trying to provide. We'll do this when we come back. We're going to go to final thoughts because I want to close with Ted's closing remarks from his filibuster. So we'll go real quick, Chris, because believe it or not, mm-hmm. We're going to get cut off any minute now.
The senator from Tennessee keeps expressing confusion. I have to admit, I don't think the American people are confused. And I would ask the senator from Tennessee, you agreed a moment ago, if I understood you correctly, that if 60 senators vote in favor of cloture, Majority Leader Harry Reid will be able to fund Obamacare in its entirety. Let me ask the counterpart. If 41 Republicans stood together and voted against cloture because we said we do not support the amendment that Majority Leader Reid has filed to fund Obamacare, when we told our constituents we oppose Obamacare, we meant it. So we are not going to be complicit in giving Harry Reid the ability to fund Obamacare. Would Majority Leader Harry Reid be able to proceed and fund Obamacare if 41 Republicans stood together against cloture?
Well, but the thing is, I think the senator from Texas may be confused. We're not going to be voting on the amendment. We have the chance to vote on the amendment after the vote on cloture. The vote on cloture tomorrow is a vote on ending debate on a bill we support. The amendment that you're talking about...
The time for the colloquy has expired.
Okay.
Is there objection to the unanimous consent request offered by the majority leader?
Madam President?
The senator from Utah.
Reserving the right to object, I requested to modify the request made by the majority leader.
I've already turned that down.
And he turned that down, and in light of the fact that he's turned it down, I object.
Objection is heard.
Madam President.
The assistant majority leader.
Madam President, what we just witnessed was an effort by Senator Harry Reid to move the votes, the critical votes, on keeping the government open to this evening. What we've just heard from the Republican side of the aisle is they want to stall and delay this even more. It isn't just a matter of losing a legislative day in the Senate.
The time is still under the control of the Republicans.
How much time? I know there was time yielded by Senator Reid to the Republican side to Senator Grassley. So how much time is remaining at this point on the Republican side?
The alternating time occurs at the bottom of, I think, at 4:30.
The alternating time occurs at 4:30 p.m.
And at 4:30, then the Democrats are recognized?
That is correct.
And what time is it now? Would the chair take notice?
4:29.
Madam President, if I could.
Senators are reminded to address each other each in the third person, not by their first and last names.
Madam President.
The senator from Tennessee.
If I could, I'd just like to say, in response to my good friend from Illinois, it's not the Republican side that's asking to stall. We only have two Republican senators that are wanting to push this off, and so I don't want that to be mischaracterized, if I could, and to say that it's my understanding that the reason that we're putting this off is because they would like for people around the country that they have notified to be able to watch. And so it's that process of making sure that everyone watches that I think is slowing this down. It's not the entire Republican side. I think most Republicans, I know all Republicans other than two, would actually like to give the House the opportunity to respond in an appropriate way. With that, I yield the floor, and I've enjoyed this very much.
That last statement by that loser Corker was basically saying that we've already given up this fight. We're sending this thing back to the House for them to work on. Well, why don't you fight? Because you can actually win. So, and then trying to, you know, say these are the only two. Well, they're not the only two. Sessions and Rand Paul, and there's others. But besides the point, he's pointing out that these are the two that are actually standing up for the right thing. And let's be clear, cloture was scheduled for tomorrow. So Harry Reid was trying to expedite it and do this quicker. So it wasn't that they were delaying. They were actually, Cruz and Lee are operating on the prescribed schedule instead of rushing through it, and that's a pretty important point to make. The crazy thing here is that what they're trying to do is rush it and do it when you're not watching. Why don't they want to be watched? Why are there at least six Republicans that are going to vote with the Democrats? And be clear, there's more than six of them who are assholes about this, but they're only going to sacrifice six of them. Why are there six Republicans that are going to vote with the Democrats for cloture on this bill, which does not support the bill, but actually gives Harry Reid all the power to defund it? If they all voted no to cloture, it would force Harry Reid's hand to negotiate. That's how you get it done. That's how Gingrich got it done with Clinton. That's how you get it done. Okay, but they're not. They're capitulating because these guys are losers. We're about to run out of time, but real quick, just want to say we've done four of these special shows on Thursdays about this very thing. And remember, it is not really about the so-called health care bill. Okay, it is not about exchanges, not about providing people with health care. This is about destroying jobs. This is about taking over the economy. This is about building up a police state and limiting your economic liberty, which limits pretty much all your liberty. And it's a control mechanism, and it needs to be stopped. This is also a pivotal moment because this is how you dislodge the fake Democrat wing of the Republican Party, the Romney, Rove, Boehner, Cantnot, McConnell, Corker wing of the party, and you build up more people like Gowdy and Amash and Gohmert and Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee. That's how you do it. That's how important this is. So don't confuse the issue, and you need to hammer them, hammer them, hammer them. Please go to the Tex and Rex show page on Facebook. Like the page. You will get notifications in your news feed and Facebook when we're broadcasting and other important action items and phone numbers to call and things to do to actually advance the cause of the Constitution, liberty, authentic conservatism, and libertarianism. And remember something, conservatism is two-thirds libertarianism, so just learn to get along on those points on which you agree. Go to Chris's group, Coalition of Freedom, if you want some in-depth analysis so that you can learn to read between the lines and cross-reference your sources and get the real truth. Very important things to do, and get this show out there. Don't just get it out there beforehand so people come listen. We appreciate it. We love all the live listeners we've had tonight. We still got some on the phone lines that are listening now. If you're listening in podcast, that's great, but get it out afterwards. Okay, it's all. I always put them together, a nice big picture on the Facebook page. Just click share. They're tweeted out, retweet them. But get this information out to people. Download the MP3 from the page by right-clicking download episode below the scrolling graphics. And get this information out there so that people understand this floor fight that just happened. 99.9% of America did not watch this floor fight happen live on C-SPAN. Only some of us political junkies did that have been following this. We just brought it to you. We just dissected it. You got to get this out to people so that they understand what the Republicans are trying to do to undermine the conservatives and the libertarians within their own ranks. That's the important thing. Yep. That's how you get people to take action. And then you go to www.don'tfundit.com, and you sign it, and you get other people to sign it, and then you call the senators, 202-224-3121. Chris, we're really running out of time, so real quick, comment on what we just heard, and then we'll close with Ted Cruz.
No, I just think that it was a great exchange, because what they did was they sent in a French Republican to basically disrupt and cause problems to try to force this thing, you know, through lying about what Lee and Cruz were doing and what they were trying to do with this vote. And you know, I mean, it's disgusting. And when you really break it down, you know, I left for a while today and I came back, and that's when you and I first connected on this. And I was like, oh, what the hell's going on? You know, I wasn't really clear on it until I sat down and listened to it, and then asked you some questions, and then I got my mind wrapped around it. And then I said, wow, this is huge. This is an important teaching moment. It's an important political tactic and strategy moment, and it shows you what they do over and over and over again, using Republicans against Republicans. I mean, it's just it's almost frightful, but it's an important lesson to learn, because the game ain't over. We are winning, but they're fighting. These people have been fighting. They've been in control for a long time. And they're going to start making a lot more mistakes because they're losing. That's really what you got to understand from this. They are losing. We are winning. And the country can survive, but it ain't going to survive under the choices and options that they are trying to shove down our throat, whether it's Obamacare, immigration, taxes, whatever, wars.
Yep.
You know.
No, absolutely. And actually, what you just saw, okay, what you just saw was backstage. Okay, because you see, they play this theater out front on C-SPAN, on the floor, in the media, on the votes, and massage your mind and get their pundits to come out and support the positions and sneak things in and twist things around. And it's all scripted and laid out so that you just, you know, think that you either have no chance or that they really fought hard on your behalf, but it just didn't work out. And statism grows, and the fake money grows, and the corruption grows, and the tyranny grows, and the police state comes down on your neck, and, you know, you kind of have to accept it. What choice do you have? That's the game. But you just saw backstage, because what happened? You got a couple of players up there that aren't going on script. You got a couple of players up there who are actually doing the job as opposed to following the script. And that shows you that they are leaders. They are leading. And understand something. I've told this to you before. A good leader doesn't make followers. A good leader makes leaders. A good leader is a rainmaker. He brings other leaders to the table, not more followers. Sheeple is what the enemy wants. Sheeple is what Corker wants. Sheeple is what Reed wants. Sheeple is the only reason Obama's president. Okay? Followers. America is built by leaders. And Ted Cruz and Mike Lee are leading for you to be more leaders. So send in the tactical support. www.don'tfundit.com. Get that number to 5 million. This fight is going to continue. Call them. Call them all and tell them no to cloture, no to removing the defunding language from the continuing resolution. Their number is 202-224-3121. Don't sit on your ass. Don't do anything else. If you're taking a smoke break, if you're driving in the car, if you're waiting to pick your kids up from school or from soccer, or if you're instead of going to the water cooler to talk about Dancing with the Douchebags or who won America's Next Retarded Talent Show or whatever the fuck it is, do something important, something that matters for your country. Make your calls. Sign the petitions. Get others to do it. You have to build a force multiplier and get this show out there. These four shows we did, five if you include the one we did on Sunday at our regular time, 10 p.m. Eastern, really put a lot of this stuff together. And I'll try to get something together that's kind of a highlight reel of all this stuff, but it is a lot of information, and believe it or not, even in 8 hours, it's hard to get it across. But we've done the work. You just have to follow up on it and make it happen. Chris, we got to close up, but real quick, I'm going to play the last minute and a half of Cruz's sort of filibuster, where he really tells you the debate is in your hands, America. It's up to you to be the force multiplier. Here's Ted Cruz.
Well, then it appears I have the floor for another 90 seconds or so. And I simply want to note to the American people who have so engaged that this debate's in your hands. Ultimately, all 100 senators, all 46 Republicans, all 54 Democrats work for you. The pleas from the American people, I tell you, in Texas, are deafening. The frustration that the United States Senate doesn't listen to the people is deafening. So I would call on all 46 Republicans to unite, to stand together and to vote against cloture on the bill on Friday or Saturday. Because otherwise, if we vote with the majority leader and with the Senate Democrats, we will be voting to allow the majority leader to fund Obamacare on a straight party line vote, a 51 vote, partisan vote. The American people will understand that. And voting to give that power to the majority leader, I would suggest, is not consistent with, I believe, the heartfelt commitment of all 46 members of this conference to oppose Obamacare. The only path, if we're going to oppose Obamacare, is to stand together and oppose cloture. And I would ask for my friends on the Democratic aisle to listen to
the hour of noon has arrived pursuant to the order of the Senate will be in order. Senators know better, and the Senate will be in order.
There it is.
Well,
that's Ted Cruz's call. Go, Chris.
You know what? That was amazing. I, you know, not many people can sit down and watch a filibuster, but we don't have them that often. And the last two, Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, have been so powerful because, you know, it was individual people against all odds that stood up and stood on what they believed in. And then the baton passes to you as a citizen. The reason this country is in the condition it's in is not because we have corrupt politicians. There's always been corrupt politicians. The system, you know, allows for that. It builds on that. You know, there's so much money and power up there. The reason that we're where we're at in this country is because people quit being citizen government. And that is, we're getting back to a point where, you know, for many, many, many years, through prosperous times, we could all kind of do our thing and make money and climb the ladder of success in America. Well, we weren't paying attention, and the bad guys took over. And now we got to pay attention because we're in a crap storm in this country. And it ain't going to change. These people are not going to change it on their own. They're going to have, there's a handful of heroes in Washington, D.C., small number, and there's a lot of us, and that's the key. There are more of us than there are of them. So, you know, we've been doing this, I don't know, man, we talk every day. You know what I mean? You know?
Yeah.
And we shake our heads every frickin' day. What the hell are we doing? Why are we doing this? This is all I got. This is my country. I have watched this coming for decades, And I fought it in ways that I believed in my life and my church and the things I chose to do in free enterprise. And I've done a lot of teaching in my life on self-reliance and economics and things like that. I've done a lot of it. I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of trying to teach people how great this country is, what you need to do to be successful, how our economy works, what free enterprise is. I've done my whole adult life, and you can only do so much. This modern era, this networking and Facebook and social media and alternative media is so powerful. I remember when I first started looking at the Ron Paul revolution and studying it, because he wasn't my choice, in the primary, and I had to actually go there and make friends with people and get in the middle of it and study the movement because I wanted to understand why it was so powerful. And it was very impressive, and that's where I really cut my teeth on social media, and really understanding the power of it. We are winning. That's the bottom line. We are winning, but all you got to do is flinch, and they're still in power. It's that simple. I'm done.
Yeah. No, you're right. We are winning, and the idea is to make them flinch. And the fact is that Obama's on his heels. Reid is an insipid little weasel, and they're easy to defeat, and you can make them cow. I mean, look, Clinton was powerful, intelligent, popular, and Newt Gingrich brought him to the negotiating table and got conservative things done. Now, are they as conservative as we'd like? Did it move in the right direction as much as possible? Maybe not, but it was going in the right direction. So that can happen again, because now you have more than just Newt Gingrich. You've got multiple people up there. Not enough. You need more. 2014 is about sending more in there. But right now, you have to be the leader. You have to be the force multiplier. You have to make this happen, and you can. Believe that you have that power, because you are sovereign, and these people are your civil servants. They work for you. Now, granted, most of them right now work for the corporations and the Federal Reserve, practically, but in structural setup, according to the Constitution, these are your civil servants. They work for you. You need to remind them of that, and not only ask politely, you need to make them do the job that they were hired to do. And that principal job is to defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. This so-called health care bill is an enemy of the Constitution. The war in Syria was an enemy of the Constitution, and taking away your guns was an enemy of the Constitution. You stop those two things. Maybe they'll come back. Probably will. But they were delayed for now. Delay this monstrosity and turn the tide within the Republican Party, which is your only shot for constitutionalism at the federal level, by sending in tactical support and a force multiplier to support Rand Paul and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and Justin Amash and Trey Gowdy and Willie Gorman and all those other guys that are up there actually fighting for your liberty. This is your country that we're talking about, your freedom, your liberty, your opportunity to get a good job, to run a business, to raise your kids, to live your life as a free person. It's liberty that matters. It's liberty that unites. We don't have to live the same life. We don't have to agree on the same things. And in fact, we can even find issues that we will never agree on. We can fight about those later. But what we need to agree on is that we need to have the liberty. We need to curtail the corruption. We need to reverse this tide of statism and corporatism. We need to diffuse power, bring it back down to the local level. This is the pivotal moment. This is the turning point. And the reason that the Imperial City is going apeshit, the reason that they're attacking Ted Cruz, and the reason they're smearing Mike Lee and ripping these guys apart is because they're afraid, because they're losing. And when your enemy is afraid and losing and they try to pretend that they're bold and strong, don't buy it. This is when you put on the full court press. This is when you advance. This is when you take a forward position and you keep firing and you don't let up. This is the time. Tomorrow is the vote. Call them and tell them no to cloture. You don't understand the rules. You don't know how the Senate works. That's fine. Just understand that Ted Cruz and Mike Lee do, and empower them by calling these other guys, 202-224-3121. No to cloture, no to cloture, no to cloture. Defund Obamacare. Defund it now, and keep telling them to defund it, and go to www.defundit.com and get other people to do it and get other people to call. This is your chance. This is the moment for conservatives and libertarians and Americans of good conscience who love their country to make a stand and be the leader, be the American, be the Minuteman, be the patriot, and stand with Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and all the other patriots that are up there doing the job that you hired them to do as your civil servants over and against the corporatist squishes, French Republicans, red rhinos, Democrat progressives, communists, and other sons of bitches that are fucking up this country. This is your moment. This is the time to get excited and be proud to be an American and fight, fight, fight. We'll bring you another show this Sunday, 10 p.m. Probably we'll talk about some of this and the results of what happened. Please share what's going on here. Get the information out there, because if you don't fight, who's going to fight? If you don't create a force multiplier, who's going to do it? Ted Cruz is doing his part. Mike Lee is doing his part. Are you going to send in the support? Or are you going to sit back on your ass and watch this thing go down in flames and lament it later on? Or do you want to be able to tell your kids, your grandkids, yeah, you remember back then when it was falling apart? I stood up. I got 10 other people to stand up. And Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and Rand Paul, they turned it around for us. That'll be a wonderful victory. Make it happen tomorrow. We'll see you on Sunday. This is Rex and Trog signing off.
The flames of liberty never die.
Obamacare. Ain't nobody got time for that. All caps and 3 exclamation marks. Make D.C. listen.
So run, you turd.
Run! Tell all the other turds the lie's coming. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
I know how you must feel about the alliance.
You really don't.